జయం విశుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజాయ అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ శరణారవింద భక్తి విదాంత గోస్వామి శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్రిలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమో విష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిపోదితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునీనాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణి భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనసందామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాసవిశాలబుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయ పత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపాం ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయ జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావోద్ధోక్తా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుదీర్ఘోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాజయద్రతజలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజస్వరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోత్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరిగద సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరహప్యభీయమానం ముదా భూయాత్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదైర్గాయంతియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థి తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. Arjuna, seeing universal form, he got a shock and saying, Rupam Mahate Bahuvaktra Netram, 23rd verse. Rupam Mahate Bahuvaktra Netram, Mahabaho Bahubaho Rupadam, Bahudaram Bahudamshtra Karalam, Drishtva Loga Prabhidhidastathaham. So many faces, so many eyes, and so many hands, so many legs, and so many stomachs, and in that way, a form, what Arjuna saw, And he says that the whole world is disturbed seeing this form, and I am also disturbed, said Arjuna, right? So, it is not that Krishna is only one side, both attraction as well as not so attractive, which is the fearful form, both are Krishna's forms. One side it is the beautiful Krishna's form, the other side which is frightening, that form Arjuna has seen, the frightening side of Krishna. And he is saying this, right? In fact, Prahlad also said the same thing. Naham bibe majidedi bhayanagasya jihuarka netra brugudi rasabogra damshral andrasraja kshadade kesara shankha karna nirkhrada bija dhiva arivin nakagrad. You will see in the Prahlad study that verse. But Prahlad said, I am not frightened seeing this form. Arjuna says he got frightened. Prahlada says, I am not frightened about it. Because Prahlada's point is, more frightening than this form is this material existence, living in this world. He said that's more frightening for him. That's how he's seeing here. Because he says that you have accepted this form, but this material life, material existence, he said, and it is more frightening. The fear is coming because we want to live. We don't want to leave the body because of our attachment to the body. So therefore, that is why this fear is coming from. When we see a form like that, because of our fearful, our nature, we become very fearful because we want to protect this body. And therefore, right? So that is what Arjuna is saying here. Then he said, Navasprasham Deepta Manega Varnam Vyatananam Deepta Vishala Netram Drishtva Hitvam Pravyadhinandaralma Dridimna Vindami Shamanja Vishnu. So this form of Krishna's form, which touches the sky and has different colors, and all the mouths open, and Arjuna says that, and his wide open eyes as well, with that fear, Krishna, Arjuna said that I have lost my peace, I'm not feeling peaceful at all. Right? So, my all willpower has gone, unsettled I am, Shanti has gone, and here, if you have to see the universal form, Visharupam, only way if you are able to see it as manifestation of Antaryami or manifestation of the Self, right? Instead, if you see it through the eyes, through the senses, and see that form, you can get frightened. But if, because this is Rudra's form, what Krishna has exhibited there is Shiva's form. So you will see this in the this fearful form when they recite Sri Rudram. And similarly, wherever there is Rudra's role comes in the Vedam, what they will do while they're chanting the hymns, they will wash the hands after that because of the fear that it has created inside. Right? The fear doesn't come in order to protect themselves in sacrifices when they recite Sri Rudram and similarly other prayers to Rudra. Rudram is a deity in the Veda. So when they recite those verses and when they perform the Ahuti into the fire, after they will wash the hands, because that fearful form has created the fear inside, right? And that form is so huge touches the sky and it has no beginning or the end. That is what he is saying there. Navasprasham. Navasa means sky. It touches the sky. Deeptam anega varnam vyatananam deepta vishala netram. And so many faces with mouth open, ready to swallow. And ultimately, Arjuna got the impression he is going to swallow everything, this whole creation, right? So everything is, this universal form is ready to swallow the whole creation inside. He lost his balance of mind, and when he saw that form, drishtva hitvambra vididandaralma dridinna bindami shamanja vishnu. Normally in life also, in our own life, it is like that, right? Suppose some great disaster comes in life, our personal life, struggle or some serious crisis happens in life, we will lose our balance and we think that we are very courageous, we are very bold, right? But suddenly when something happens in life, you lose your strength, you lose your own balance, isn't it? So that is all part of this universal form, right? In our own personal life, for example, sometimes when someone very close to you die, death happens, right? Or some heavy illnesses comes in life, the body becomes very completely weakened, right? The mind gets affected by that, right? But you are very strong when you were healthy and you had no serious problems. But suddenly things in life can upset our mind and lose our balance also, right? So, which is also a small part of this universal form, that how one gets shaken in life with certain incidents happens, or when you lose your own balance of mind, right? So that same thing what Arjuna is saying, when he suddenly saw this form, he got shaken by that. And see what he had to say. Dhamstra karalani cha te mukhani drishtaiva kalanala sannibhani dishona jane na lebheja charma prasita devesha jaganivasa. The form was so ferocious, right? What do you have to do when you get frightened? Prasita devesha jaganivasa. Right? When you see the fearful nature of this world of material life, right? What is spoken here is that you have to become that it is death comes. Adibhishana kadubhashana yama kinkara padali krita tadana paribhidana maranagama samaye umayasaha mama chedasi yama shasana nivasan hara shankara shiva shankara harame haraduritam. That at the time of death, parabedana maranagama samaye, the time of death comes, we become fearful. Everybody becomes fearful. When we know very close to death, a few moments left to live in this world, at that time our situation is really scary. It is, right? Because if you are being very, if Yamadu does come, that will create a fear inside. Adibhishana kadubhashana yama kingara padali krita tadana. And if they are taking us away because of our life in this world, what all we have done, so many bad things we may have done, that will all come in the form of our activations of the body, mind and the senses. They will all take personified, this yama kingara means that, personified forms of our sinful reactions. To make the decision of the next body, before that we are dragged away from this body, right? So when you leave this body, maripidana maranagama samaye umayasaha mama chedasi yama shasana nivasan, you have to take, here it is mentioned to Lord Shiva's asking for shelter, for protection, hara shankara shiva shankara harame hara duritam. that I know I have done sinful things in ignorance, but you should come with Shri Parvati Devi and protect me at that moment. It's a prayer like that in the Shiva Stotram. It comes. So, same thing here also. Dhamstra karalanja te mukani drishtaiva kalanala sannibhani dishona janina labheja sharma prasita devesha jaganivasa. Arjuna was a very... Arjuna doesn't get easily frightened. He is a warrior, isn't it? Kshatriya he is. So he does not know what fear is. That's his nature, the Kshatriya mindset, right? And, but at this moment when he saw this universal form, he was shaken inside, right? And this Arjuna, who is so courageous, he started crying like children, seeing the form. He says, I can't see in any directions, no shanti inside. And he says there, disho na jani na labheja sharma. Sharma means happiness, right? Sharma has gone, he says. Brahmanas are called sharma. Kshatriyas are called varma. That is how it is. Brahmanas are sharma. Kshatriyas are varma, right? Varma means one who has got a shield, protective shield, right? And Kshatriya's responsibility is to fight the war and protect them, protect others. And therefore he is called Varma. And Brahmanas, they are happy with what they got in life, able to live peacefully with whatever they got in life and live peacefully, and therefore they are called Sharma. Under any circumstances they are happy. That nature, peaceful existence, that's called Sharma. And Arjuna says here, na labheja sharma, labheja sharma, prasida devesha jaganivasa. So, nowadays, no brahmana is sharma. There is no sharma now, right? And therefore, because they look miserable now, like anybody else, right? And he's saying, I can't see in any direction anything. No, Shandins. Prasita Devesha Jaganivasa. He says to Krishna, please protect me. Please protect me, he says. In Kundi Sudhi also you'll find the same prayers from Kundi Devi. Shri Krishna Krishna Vrishabhav Krishna Saka Vrishabhavanidruk Rajanya Vamshadhanan Apavargavirya Govinda Godvija Surarthi Haravadara Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. Kundi Sudhi will say this, right? And similarly, you saw Gajendra saying, Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste, right? So, in situations like that, the only shelter is Krishna. Ask for Krishna's protection, right? And really, invoking comes from the heart for protection from Krishna, right? That is the only time when it will come. When you find that you can't protect yourself, you feel helpless yourself, you have no choice except to go to Krishna. A situation can come in life like that, right? Till then it won't happen, right? But when you realize ultimately that you are not in control and you have no, you are not in a position to protect yourself, and you can't do anything, then we will cry like children. And at that time, this prayer will come from inside. Naturally, we will go looking for shelter, Krishna shelter, forced upon us to take Krishna shelter, right? So, you will see this, Ayur Nashyati Pashyadam Pratidinam Yadikshayam Yavvanam Pratyayandi Gada Punarn Devasa Kalo Jagal Bhakshara Lakshmi Toya Taranga Bhanga Chabala Vidyuchalam Jivitam Tastan Mam Sharanagadam Sharanadatum Raksharakshaduna. Ayur Nashiri Pashyadam. Every moment life is running out. Time is running out for us, right? Pradidinam. Yadichayam Yavanam. In the same way, youth also is finished, going. Pratyayantikada Punarandavasa Kalo Jagal Bhakshara. The time is swallowing the world, everyone's life, and the world is getting swallowed. And so, Arjuna say, Lakshmi Toya Taranga Bhunga Chabala Vidyuchalam Jividam. Life is like a flash, comes very quickly, it gets finished, we are gone, right? Lakshmi Toya Taranga Bhunga Chabala Vidyuchalam Jividam. Then, Lakshmi Devi also, her mercy is also very temporary. And Tasman Mam Sharanagadam Sharanada Tum Raksha Rakshadhana. This is from Bhartrahari's prayers. So, Arjuna says, Prasida Devesha Jagannivasa, Arjuna's prayers, right? He says, I don't know what I am doing, Arjuna says, right? And not very clear in his own mind what is going on, right? So, at this moment, we don't think about all that. We will think about day-to-day affair, what goes on in life, isn't it? We try to deal with it. Don't think about death much. We think about the immediate problems, what you have to deal with in life. Right? So, at the time of death, the jiva has to go into this track. So, if Krishna, if somebody is trained well to remember Krishna always, then there will be some peace even at the time of death. Similarly, if you had some experience of Krishna's mercy in life, Kripa, or if you had the association of a great soul, Mahalmas, right, at the time of death, that will come, that memory will come. A mercy of a great Mahatma, if you had, or some experience of Krishna in life, where you felt protected from Krishna, protection from Krishna, if you had that experience, such thoughts will come in our mind at that time, right? So, similarly, people who performed Agni Upasana throughout life, right? For them, Agni will come at the time of death, because that's what they have done whole life, right? In order to take them in their path, through the path of Agni. You say in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that. Agnir Jyoti Raha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayana. The path of Agni. So those who have performed Agni Upasana, Agni will come for them. Right? Or if you had close association with the Guru who had given you some enlightenment, he will come at the time of death. Right? And in order to give us protection at that time, Ma Bhaihi, and he will take us through the process called Devayanam. Devayanam process, right? Otherwise, you will see darkness at the time of death. So, Damshtrakaralanija Temukhani, what he is saying there, right? Different types of bhavam, forms will seen. Shakran Mutra Pibunjadi. Right, sometimes at the time of death you can see people pass urine and stool. It will come out because of this fear only. That will show, indicate that what your next destination is. At the time of death, sometimes people pass urine, stool. That's an indication that the future is not looking very good. And at the time of death, we will lose our balance of mind. Because we have lost control of everything. The law is enforced on us. And naturally, what will happen is that the fear, altogether everything changes. Our body is gone, it's going, mind is gone, and pranan is leaving the body, the soul is departing, and at that time, you are not in control of anything. It just happens. You are just being pushed through that death. So, Arjuna says, Prasida Devesha Jaganivasa. Arjuna got that feeling, such a feeling happened to him at that time. And he says that he realized that except Krishna there is no other shelter at that moment, right? So, normally people are bold, courageous and all that. It's in your mind, isn't it? The mind gives you some strength to behave with boldness and through strength. But suddenly the mind is gone. Mind does not have that strength anymore, right? And you will know that the feeble nature of the mind at the time of death, that the mind doesn't have any strength actually. What you are showing in life with all your courage and strength is all based on this mind, and that the mind itself is losing its power. So, Nalabheja Sharma, he says. Who is saying this? Arjuna is saying this, right? One who has got Gandivam, the powerful bow in his hand, and that Arjuna is saying like this, that Dishona Jani Nalabheja Sharma Prasida Devesha Jaganivasa. So, this universal form Krishna has spoken here, right, shown, it's seed of this. In the 8th chapter, Krishna has spoken, right? You mentioned there as Parapragrati and Aparapragrati, right? Universal form is coming from that, right? Everything what you see is Aparapragrati. And this Aparapragrati exists because behind Aparapragrati there is this Parapragrati, which is the Chit Shakti, right? And Parapragrati is subtle, Aparapragrati is gross. So this Aparapragrati, there are certain things which are not present in the Parapragrati, like time, space, all these things are in the Aparapragrati. In Parapragrati, what is there? There is no time, there is no space, right? Amrutvam, that means immortality. Aparapragrati is mortal. Parapragrati is immortal, right? So those who have tasted Parapragrati, for them, time has no effect on them. One who have tasted Parapragrati. See, we have only tasted Aparapragrati. That is why time is frightening us. Life is running out. We are getting old. Death is coming. All this fear, actually time doesn't run out. Time is always there. There is no such thing called a time. But we experience fear in life because of this time. And this time is a part of this Aparapragrati. So, those who have tasted Parapragrati, they don't feel time because they have tasted Parapragrati. There is no time in Parapragrati. Whereas, Aparapragrati, if you have completely under the control of Aparapragrati, then you will see that the even a moment you will find it is a long period of time. That means you feel the pressure of time. You feel the heaviness of time impact on us in a subtle level, right? Body is changing. Body is not listening anymore. Body is acting in a way that you start realizing that you have no control on yourself, the body, right? So, you remember that story, Jnanasambandhar drank the milk, right? What has he drunk? He drank the milk of Parapragrati. And that is why, and whereas we are drinking the milk of Aparapragrati, So, in your samadhi state, there is no time, right? And you can see that when you go into sushupti, there is no time there, is there? That is an indication that in the spiritual state, there is no time. And sushupti is teaching us that. Yeah. So, you went to sleep and you got a good sleep, right? And it became bright in the morning, right? What that shows is that you didn't know those hours when you had a deep sleep. That deep sleep, right? When you experience deep sleep, you are not experiencing the time. So the time is only in the waking state and in the dream state, not in the deep sleep, right? Which means that when there is mind, there is time. Mind is not present in the waking state or in the dream state. It's only in the... it is present in the waking and dream state. In the deep sleep, there is no mind, there is no time. So you can see the impact mind creates in us. It brings time in and you get scared about the time, right? when the mind starts working, time starts working. And when there is a lot of time, you get bored with the time, not knowing what to do, right? And when the mind goes silent, quiet mode, mind is not giving you any, mind is not showing its presence in us, right? You feel a certain peace inside, right? And that is what that drinking the milk means, para and avara. Right? And Krishna mentioned that in the 8th chapter, if you look, you will find there how that impact is. Avyakto-aksharam ityuktam, 21st verse, 8:21. Avyakto-aksharam ityuktam, tamahu paramam gadim, yam prapya nanivartande, taddhama paramam mama. Yeah. Aksharam avyaktam, Krishna is saying here. Yes, avyakto-aksharam ityuktam, tamahu paramam gadim, yam prapya nanivartande, taddhama paramam mama. Avyaktam. Aksharam is avyaktam. Krishna is saying here. Yeah? Avyaktam means that cannot be perceived through senses. Which cannot be perceived through senses. Right? Aparam is indriya vedyam. You can perceive through senses. Aparam. Para means what is not possible to perceive through senses. Again, gross and subtle. What you know through senses, everything what you perceive through senses, that's what it is, right? and that is what we have to know, but cannot be perceived through senses. Avyaktaksharam ityuktam, tamahu paramam gadim, yad gatvana nivartande, taddhama paramam mama. This is understood by in different ways by people, these words, right? They are thinking that you come back to my abode. Yes, what does that mean, coming back to my abode? Means coming back to the self, realizing the self. He has not spoken anything about another world. Vaikuntham, Kailasam, Golokam, nothing spoken. Yad gatvana nivartante taddhama paramam mama. The moment you realize the self, and you get established there, you don't come back again. That's all it means, right? And that is how this has to be understood that way, right? Arjuna is saying, Veditavyam, Tum Aksharam Paramam Veditavyam. You are Tum Aksharam, you are Aksharam. You are Aksharam, present inside as indestructible, cannot be destroyed, Andaryami. That's what he's referring to, right? You are inside like that, and it has to be known, Veditavyam. it has to be known. Tum aksharam paramam veditavyam. That has to be known, right? And if you are aware of that antaryami all the time, then there will be no difference, because it is stable, steady and permanent inside antaryami, right? And that is what is to be known. There is no end to it, he's saying there. Tomaksharam paramam veditavyam tomasya vishwasya param nidhanam. That antaryami is the foundation of the whole creation. Tomavyaya. There is no end for that. Avyayam, indestructible. Right. So, that is the vastu, or the thing what one has to realize at the end. You may have seen or thought about this, that in this world we want to know things, many things we want to know, right? But there is no end to it. Then that is the nature of this world. It's in a whole life, if you keep on trying to know things in this world, it is endless, unlimited, right? And what is it showing is that Shanti won't come from knowing things in the world. We misunderstand things. That sometimes our education, they say you have to be a student whole life, they say. A student of what? This avidya. So it looks strange, the kind of things what people say, isn't it? That you have to continuously learn things in life. You have to increase your knowledge. But where is the end of that? Yeah. So with this knowledge, Shanti won't come, right? You keep on studying, right? And lot of things what you have studied before has all gone. New things you are studying again further, right? That is the nature of this avaravidya, right? So Krishna is saying there that aksharam, tum aksharam, aksharam avyaktam. What he said in that 21st, tomacharam, tomacharam, 21st verse. Right. Yeah. Avyatvaksharam ityuktam, tamahu paramam gadim, yam prapyana nivartande, taddhama paramam mama. So Krishna says that is the Shanti state ultimately, right? And if you get there, then you don't come back. And where is that you enter there? Yam prapyana nivartande. Where is it? Where you don't come back again? That's here only. In this antaryami here, right? So, there's a story about that to make it easier to understand. One person was very fearless, right? He wanted to meet with a leopard. He said, I want to see a leopard, what it's like, right? So people told him that he is in the forest, leopard. There's a cave there in the forest. You go there, you will see the leopard there, he said, right? So, and we don't go there, others told him, because the leopard is there, we don't go there, he said. He didn't care for anyone. He wanted to meet the leopard. So he went into the cave. Got into the cave, right? Then he never came back from inside. He stayed in the cave, right? So, similarly, we also in this world, we are wandering in this world, here, there, everywhere, thinking that where to find some Shanti, right? Krishna is saying that Shanti is inside you. That cave, what the leopard is living, that is inside us, right? That once you enter inside there, you won't come out. That's the nature of that cave, right? And that is why in Vishnu Sahasranamam, that cave is called Mahagartham. One of the 1000 names of Vishnu is Mahagartham. Mahagartham means once you enter into that, you won't come back. Means you realize the self, truth, then you don't come into this world anymore. Right? And you won't be seen here. And it's the same thing that this is what he said, avyaktocharam ityuktam tamahu paramam garim yam prapya na nivartande tadhama paramam mama. Gopis also said the same thing in a different way. If you look what the gopi said, he said that don't go to him because he is dangerous, he said to Krishna. If you go close to him, you will see in the gopi's prayers in the 47th chapter, in the 10th canto. Mṛga yuriva kapi indram, that is the 17th verse. Mṛga yuriva kapi indram vivyadhe lubdha dharma sriyam agrita virubam srijita kamayanam belimabhi belimatva veshtrayat dhungshavadyam tadalam asida sakhe vyastyaja tulka dhartha. If you, gopi said in their language, gopis are saying, if you get attracted to Krishna, then you won't come back. You gone. That is in the Bhakti's language. The same thing. What Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, that same message, gopis are speaking in the Bhakti language. Krishna is speaking blunt, openly. He is saying, yam prapya na nivartande taddhama paramam mama. Once you enter inside, realize the truth, andaryami inside, then you don't come back. That's what it means. Once you realize the self, you don't come back again. Yadgatvana nivartande taddhama paramam mama. Gopis are saying, mugayurivagabhi indram vivyadhe lubdha dharma sriyam agrita virupam srijita kamayanam belim abhibalimatva veshtrayak dvungshavadyam tadalam asida sakhe dustyaja tal kathartha. Then, gopis are saying, you should not make any connection with him, with Krishna, in other words, right? Because if you make too close connection with him, and if he swallows you, then you won't be coming back again. So beware, the gopis are saying in their own way, right? Just like in the temple, the pujari is making the offering. Suppose he doesn't come back. When he makes the offering, he closes all the doors and he's inside, right? So normally after making the offering, he's supposed to come back with the offering, what he has made. Suppose he come back without the offering, what will happen? He'll be sacked, isn't it? He'll lose his job. He won't be a pujari anymore, right? So it's expected that he should bring the what has been offered, the understanding that Krishna won't eat it, even though it's offered to him. Suppose if he eats it, the pujari will be in trouble. Will he not? The management will ask, where is all the barfi and rasagullas what you have taken? Have you eaten it yourself? He will lose his job. Pujari service will be terminated that day. Right? So, yam prapyana nivartande taddhama paramam mama. Once you have gone back to Krishna, ahangaram goes away and Krishna has swallowed you. Means he has taken our ego. Ahangaram taken away. Right? So what is he done? Right? Yam prapyana nivartande. You don't come back after that. Right? Where to? Mrtya samsara vartmani. To the cycle of birth and death in this world. If you come back, then the soul process begins again. Jananam maranam, birth and death, right? And the same thing, we are continuously doing it, one after the other. How many times we died and how many times we were born. So, that once we have not understood that. Yeah. So you will see here that the दंष्ट्राकरालानि च ते मुखानि दृष्टैव कालानर सन्निभानि दिशो न जानेन लभेश शर्म प्रसीद देवेश जगन्निवासाम्. सो once the realization comes of our spiritual realization comes to us and we become free from this bodily identity, right? And if you don't go back to that cycle of birth and death, Krishna says purushastu parapartha. Once you have known that Parama Purusha inside us and you are seeing him in everything, that's what happens with the self-realization, that only Krishna exists, nothing else exists here, right? So that state is what was spoken in the fifth canto also. You will see that in the case of Rishabhadev, in the sixth chapter, 5, 6, 18, that Rajan Padir Guru Ralam Bhavadam Yadunam Devam Priyakulapadim Kochakingarova Astueva Manga Bhagavan Bajatam Mukundo Muktim Dadahi Karhejalsmana Bhakti Yogam. Muktim Dadahi Karhejalsmana Bhakti Yogam is saying that Krishna gives liberation. What is liberation? Knowledge of the self. That is liberation, isn't it? Realizing the self, right? And then what happens? That with that knowledge, realization, bhaktim muktim dadami karhijalsmana bhakti yogam, right? What is bhakti means? Bhakti means after realizing the self, yeah, seeing this whole creation as manifestation of the same self, antaryami. And that samadhi state, yeah, that is what bhakti and bhakti is. Mukti is realizing the self, to be followed by bhakti. With muktim dadadi karhijilsmana bhakti yogam. Bhakti means after that, that realization, when it spreads into the creation, when you see the whole creation is nothing but the same antaryami inside. At that time the mind has gone, there is no more mind, right? And that is what Krishna is saying here. You will see this situation with the mind, what happens here. Mind is there when we have no self-realization. When the mind disappears, then you realize that there is no such a thing called the mind. That is how you transcend the mind. You don't destroy the mind, you transcend the mind. In the Shivananda Hari, there is a verse which says about this. Karaste hema drav girisha nikadaste dhanapatav grahaste surbhoja amara surabhi chindamani gane Shirasse Shidam Shau Charana Yugala Te Agilasube Agilashube Kam Artham Dasekam Bhavadu Bhavad Artham Mamamana Bhavadu Bhavad Artham Mamamana says, yeah. Ajayi Swami says there, with the flowers called this mind, I'm worshipping you. Like when they do Sandhya Vandanam, they give Arkhyam after reciting the Gayatri. So Arkhyam, all that is, they call it Arkhyam, is this Archana, offering this, right? They recite the different holy names, Achyutaya Nama, Govindaya Nama, Chaitanya Kusuma Priyam. Chaitanyam is spurti or realization of the antaryami is inside, right? And when you have that realization that Krishna is inside as antaryami, that's what you are offering to all these, to the antaryami inside, right? And all the Yagam, Yatyam, Puja, Abhishekam, Tirtham, everything finishes there. So once you have realized Antaryami's presence inside, then your pilgrimage is over. And you perform the Yagam, Yatyam, and the place where they live is all become very pure, right? So such persons who have self-realized, wherever they bathe, that lake or tank become purified. Like in the Bhagavatam, Vidura's case it was spoken. Tirthi Kuruvandi Tirthani. Right. So, so he mentions there, you will see in the 22nd verse in that 8th chapter also. 22nd verse, right? Purushasa Parapartha, 822. Purushasa Parapartha, Bhaktya Lebhyasthana Ananyaya, Yasyandasani Bhodani, Yena Sarvamidam Tatam. Yeah? So, Purushasa Parapartha, Bhaktya Lebhyasthana Ananyaya, Bhaktya Lebhyasthana Ananyaya, Yasyandasani Bhudani, Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. All living entities are existing in him, means consciousness, right? And Yasyandasani Bhudani, all living entities are present in him, Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. He, everywhere he is present, we all exist in him. So, this realization, right, that means when the eyes are wide open, even then you are experiencing Krishna's presence in this world. Now we are seeing Namarupam, isn't it, names and forms. But able to see this presence of Antaryami everywhere. I know it is difficult to explain more because this is a state of realization, is it not? So, explanation won't help very much. You have to realize it. Only at that state you will see the reality, what it is, right? What it means is that we are not anymore individuals at that stage, right? And you are not different from others. At the moment we are all thinking we are, I am one person, you are another person, you are another person, that way. Personality there. Personality goes away. And you are seeing the one thread that is going through everyone. That realization. What Krishna is saying, Mataparadaram Anyal, Kinjidasti Dhananjaya, Mai Sarvamidam Pradam, Sutra Mani. So touching that sutram is that self-realization. If you touch the sutram, you have touched the whole garland. But if you touch one of the beads in the sutram, you are only touching that bead. Sutram is the one what is linking everybody together, Antaryami. So, that is the proper self-realization he is saying here. Ultimate spiritual reality, right? Spiritual victory, you can say. Once you have done that, then there is no danger after that, right? at that moment, you will see everyone as Krishna has come in that form. That way our consciousness gets upgraded. At the moment, we can only see the Namarupam because of our lack of realization, because we identify with the body. Everyone else is identifying with the body. So it's only body seeing another body through the eyes, through the senses, right? So this whole vision changes and start seeing that Antaryami has come in all these different forms. At that time what happens? This perception now, somebody is a good person, somebody is a bad person, all this goes away. Because they are based on the body and the subhav of a person. But when you see the Surubam in someone else, then these difficulties with the Subhavam goes away in others. Right? Upanishad says in a different way, says, Tum Puman, Tum Kumaram, Tum Kumani. In other words, Namarupam cheats us. We get cheated through Namarupam, right? But one who has realized the Tattvam, he is not cheated anymore. Once it so happened, this is a story to explain this more. A king, he had a habit that if any sadhu comes to the palace, mahatmas or sadhus come, he will invite them inside and in the palace give them a nice throne to sit and worship him and also offer him a nice feast, everything, and give some charity to him in this way. He was like that, the king by nature, he was like that, right? So the minister was observing all these things, one of the ministers. He thought this king is getting cheated all the time because a lot of people come like sadhus and have a nice time with the king, get a good feast and get some dakshina also and he leave, right? So he thought that a lot of people are coming to cheat him in this way, right? Dressed up as sannyasis, they'll come. And the king said, whoever comes as sannyasis, I'll receive them like that, right? And he will bathe his feet, give them nice clothes and a nice feast, give some dakshina, and then he will send them off, right? And the minister felt this is not right, what's going on, that he's getting cheated this way. So he told the king that we shouldn't do like this, he said, like that. He said many times to king, but king was not willing to listen. King continued doing that, right? And the king says to him, everybody who comes like that, it's all Krishna at the end, is it not? He said, right? So what the minister did, that he wanted to teach him a lesson to the king. So he made arrangement with one man. So he said, you dress up like a sadhu and you come. And you will be taken care of very well, he said. So he came, the sannyasi dressed, one friend of minister, right? And he was very good in dressing up. You see how dress makes everything. People fall for it, isn't it? If you see the dress. Dress is such a powerful impact on people. Danda, dress, and all the other things, right? So... what we see in this world, that's what it is, it's not. So, next day, he came, and the king didn't bother as usual, he did, worshipped him, served him nicely, and then gave him a lot of nice clothes, and gave him a good dakshina also, and sent him off, right? So, what the minister did next day was, he told the king, look, there is a drama going on there, some kind of a program, right? We'll go and have a watch that drama, he said. So he took the king and the minister, took the king and went there to see the drama, right? So when he got there, he knew that the king will recognize who came as dressed up as sannyasi the day before. He's actually a drama actor because he was good at acting and he was acting in the drama. And after the drama, he came out and king recognized him, right? So he thought that the king will get upset seeing that he has been cheated. So he says to the minister, king, this is the same person who came yesterday dressed up as sannyasi, whom you have washed his feet, gave him a good feast, gave him good clothes, everything. So the king says to him, look at how Krishna comes in different forms. So the king was like that. Right? So he has come yesterday as sannyasi, here today he has come as a drama actor, but Krishna can come in any forms, he says. So all forms are his forms only, right? And yesterday he came in the sannyasi dress, now he has come in the drama actor, right? So king says that I didn't worship the sannyasi, I didn't worship the drama actor, I worshiped the Antaryami inside. So minister understood sarvabhudeshu yapashyet bhagavadbhavamatmana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama, that realization. Yeah. So the king was in that state like that. If you start looking at the people's qualifications, then probably many sannyasis it will be difficult to worship now, right? And there is a system like in Shraddha ceremony. This is all disappeared now. In the past in Shraddha ceremony, Brahmanas are invited, you wash their feet, feet washing happens there, and then you feed them nicely, right? It is there in the Manusmriti, all these things spoken, right? But nowadays you don't get any Brahmana for that, to wash the feet, right? But, yeah, because the person who is coming, the Brahmana who comes to get the feet washed, he has to be qualified for that, in the sense that he should have studied the Vedam, right? And he should not have many faults in him. In other words, he should be following the Brahmanical culture from well, right? If he has got all problems, right? Suppose he is greedy, suppose he is not simple in his habits, right? And then it is a problem, right? So the problem is this, that generally they won't come for the Shraddham if they have an impression like that. They are not qualified for that, to receive this feet washing from thing, right? So, but the understanding is this, that Brahmana is worshipped there as a representative of Vishnu. And actually you are not worshipping the Brahmana, but actually worshipping Mahavishnu there, in that form, right? So, Namadeva, for example, right? He sometimes gets so absorbed in his worship. So the wife says he's gone missing for a couple of days, he's not seen anywhere, right? And finally he searched and found him in the forest, sitting there, right? So she brought, he has not eaten also 2 days, so he brought some chapatis and sabji for him to eat, seeing him in that. She was so devoted to him. So she just wanted to make sure that at least he has some prasadam. So she brought the prasadam to see him and give it to him, right? And she says to him, you have this prasadam, he said to him, right? Namadev says to her, you keep that prasadam there, I'll take it, he said. And she left the prasadam there and she went back home, right? And Namadev was absorbed in the kirtanam, singing, glorifying Krishna, right? Meanwhile, a dog came. And he ate all the he took all the chapati. You know how the dogs are. They come and they see if there's something to eat. They'll bite that and they'll run away with that straight away. So, and dog was hungry. Dog was happy that he got some chapatis. So he ate the chapatis and it ran away from there. So Namrup got up. He saw the chapatis he has taken. Namrup says to the dog, I've not put the ghee on the chapati, here is the ghee, he's saying. And he's running with the ghee after the dog to give it to the chapati, the ghee as well, right? So he's saying that this dog was come, is also Panduranga, because Namadev was a worshipper of the Panduranga, Vithala Panduranga, right? So he says to the dog, if you eat the chapati like that, your tongue will get hurt. It will get broken, right? Let me put this the ghee on the chapati for you. So this is how Namadev's state of consciousness, in other words, right? Shuni jaiva shobhageja pandita samadarshina. So these are personalities who have reached that state, yeah? And whether it is a dog or a donkey or whatever it is, they can see that Andaryami present inside them, in all living entities, right? And This is what is real Visharupa Darshanam. Real Visharupa Darshanam is this, right? That means Krishna is present in everything. Yeah? Krishna is present in everything. There is no place where he is not present. In the wood, in the space, in water, everywhere, like Prahlada said. So, Purushasa Paratpartha Bhaktyastvan Anyayam. You will see that in the 54th verse here also. That is to be got through Bhaktyatun Anyaya Shakya Ahamevam Vidho Arjuna Nyadam Drashtam Cha Tatvena Praveshtam Cha Parantapa. In the same chapter at the end, Krishna is saying that. So, Bhaktyatun Anyaya Shakya Aham Evam Vidho Arjuna Nyadam Drashtam Cha Tatvena Praveshtam Cha Parantapa. So, this has to be, that state has to come through bhakti, Visharupa Darshanam. Right. So, it has to be, so proper Visharupa Darshanam has to be through bhakti. That means this state, what Namadev was in, or we are talking about that king, all these great souls, so what has to be achieved through bhakti? Krishna has given that to Arjuna at this moment for a short period of time, right? It has to be normally achieved through bhakti, otherwise you will get frightened when you see this form. That is why Arjuna got frightened. If through bhakti and self-realization, if you reach that state, you won't be frightened because you will see the same Antaryami in everything. When you see the Naam, that is what this Visharupa Darshanam's main message. If you see through senses, Namarupam, you will be frightened. But if you see through the soul as Antaryami, presents everything, Namarupam won't have any more, won't generate any more fear inside. Our vision has changed. We are not seeing any more as through Namarupam, rather seeing the presence of Antaryami in everything. Two different ways you are seeing that. Yeah? And this state has to come through bhakti. Bhaktyatun anyaya shakya aham evam vidharjuna jnatum drashtam cha tattvena praveshtam cha parandapa. Yeah? So, through bhakti if you get it, whichever forms Krishna comes, bhavam comes, there will be anandam inside. Yeah? Bhakti will be there. And that is Ishvara Darshanam. Okay. This is what Krishna was talking about in the 8th chapter also. Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. After saying all that, Krishna is saying here that Arjuna, Purushasa Parapartha, know me as the Purusha. Right? And so practically Visharupa Darshanam is an experience Krishna given to Arjuna to make him aware that if you don't see me in the way I should be seen, which means through self-realization, it could be frightening. That means as Namarupam, if you see me as a manifestation of Namarupam, you could get scared. Whereas if you see me as pure consciousness, through self-realization, then you won't have to be fearful. There won't be fear in you, because you are seeing my spiritual side, rather than seeing this Namarupam side. Right? And if you know me like that, you will see me everywhere, me only. You won't see Vedam differences. Right? So, that is what Krishna said before. Mattaparadaram anyal kinjidasti dhananjaya mai sarvamidam prodam sutre maniganaiva. These verses are to be thought through a lot. Because there is a, through examples, Krishna is explaining himself, what he is, right? Like, talked about this thread and the garland with the pearls and everything. What does it all mean? It means that I am like a thread through the whole pearls, through the garland. And if you see the thread, you have touched the core of it. And you are seeing me as I am. But if you are simply seeing the pearls only in different forms, then you are not seeing the whole thing. Yeah. So Krishna said to him, Arjuna, that nothing exists here except me, right? So these are Krishna's words. And to such an extent, we have to have that bhakti and the faith in what Krishna has spoken, right? We will say, Krishna can say all these things. Or Vedavyasa Maharshi can say all these things, right? We are not ready for all that, which means that I have not developed the bhakti to that level, right? Lack of bhakti, lack of shraddha, right? So, if we have bhakti, then if you are able to accept what Krishna is saying, Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita, right? This will happen. But we have difficulty there, is it not? Right? Krishna is saying, Mai sarvamidam prodam sutra manigana iva. Right? Krishna is saying, I am present in everything, whole creation. Right? And Arjuna. And all these different forms and names are present in me. And it appears as though I am present in all the bodies, right? But actually the whole creation exists in me. The creation exists in the Atma. It is in Atma this creation comes, stays and disappears. Atma is the foundation. Creation is not the foundation. And Krishna is not existing in the creation. Creation exists in Krishna. So once you have touched the foundation, Krishna, once you have known Atma, then he will see that in everything. When he sees like that, then his Uparamam happens to him, and that is what Bhagavad Gita is trying to teach us. Basically saying, on a bodily level, you will always be perplexed. But on the spiritual level, you become free from that fear, right? So, Alpa, one who has seen that, everything as the self, as Antaryami, at that time, there will be no more mind anymore, at that stage, yeah? Samadhi state comes to him. And we will continue like that without mind. You will see when the mind goes away, Shanti comes. And Uparamam Sukham, proper happiness also comes at that time. Whereas at this moment in time, in our case, mind is working and mind is busy with the world, seeing through the senses, making contact with the sense objects, right? And it is in this state of Arjuna, when his mind is going through the senses, to the sense objects, that Vishwarupam was shown to Arjuna. And that is why he became frightened. He got frightened, right? So, when you have to see Vishwarupam, universal form, right? If the way Krishna has shown it to Arjuna, if Krishna shows it to us, that Vishwarupam, right? We will be finished, right? Arjuna had some strength in him. Therefore, he managed to survive that. And therefore, he said, Dridimna Vindami Shamanja Vishnu. He's saying that, Dridimna Vindami Shamanja Vishnu. In the 24th verse, Drishtvahitvam Pru Vyadhidandar Alma Dridinna Vindami Shamancha Vishnu, he said. Hey Vishnu, all my dridi, willpower, has gone. Arjuna says, right? My peace has gone, and more or less my buddhi is also shaken completely, right? Frightened I am. Arjuna is saying this, yeah? Pravyadhidandaratma, drishtva hitvam pravyadhidandaratma, dridimna vindami shamanja vishnu. So that is what that 24th verse has done, yeah? In 25th verse he says, disho na jani nalabheja sharma prasida devesha jaganivasa, right? So in that verse, 25th verse, what we want is that last line, prasida devesha jaganivasa, right? The rest of it, dhamstra haravani jate mukhani drishtaiva galanala sannibhani disho na jani nalabheja sharma. That verse is frightening because everything what is spoken in that is frightening. Dhamstra. Krishna with Dhamstra, right? And it is burning like the Drishtaiva Kala Anala Sannibhani. At the time of devastation, when the fire burns, and like that it is burning in that form, right? So just like small children, when they don't, they get frightened in the dark, isn't it? So mothers will tell the children, sometimes when they don't listen, they'll make them frightened, that don't go, there's devil there or ghost there. And children at that stage, they get frightened, scaring that, right? So similarly, Krishna is saying, when this form came in front of Arjuna, Arjuna got so scared seeing all these things. And so the Agni, fire, is Krishna's face. Agni has a strong link with all the devadas. Agni, fire, right? Krishna swallowed the Agni in one of the pastimes, forest fire. You'll see in the 10th canto. So, one, its color is yellowish color or reddish color, right? And Agni is also the face of Krishna, they say. Because in the Yagam and all, Agni is offered into the Agni, you're offering the Havisa. Agni carries that to the respective devadas to whom. And that is why Ahuti is performed in the Agni, right? So, in Yajnam, Krishna doesn't come personally, or the devadas don't come normally, but everything is offered to Agni. Agni takes it to different devadas. That is the Sangalpam behind it, right? And this Agni has got a name called Sapta Jihva. Seven-tongued it is. Seven different forms, right? And therefore, we say that Krishna has got the seven tongue because it comes through the Agni. And Agni also, why do they say like that? If it burns well, it has got seven colors. Agni has seven colors, right? The right one, the one is right in the middle, is the one which eats. So, if you make it through the matchbox, it won't come. This Agni won't come, right? It has to come through that arani, yeah, through the process of churning, right? So, adhanam, it is called Agni adhanam, right? So, all these seven different Agnis, they've got their own names also. Audumbaram and all that, right? So, this Agni is required for certain particular yagam, right? And here, Krishna is present there in the battlefield, standing there, right? because of the fire of this Agni, that Arjuna is saying, I couldn't see anyone there who was standing there, other people who were in the battlefield. Disho na jani na labheja sharma, says there. Right? I can't see anybody because everywhere there is this fire coming from Krishna's body. Right? And is he happy with that? No. Prasida devesha jaganivasa, he says. Prasida devesha jaganivasa. So, you can see that, therefore, he is saying, amijatvam dhritarashtrasya putra sarve sahaivavani palasangheihi bhishma drona sutaputra tathaso sahasmadiyai abhi yodamukheihi. Krishna is going to show Arjuna what is going to happen in the future. Yeah? Yeah. What has happened in the past? What is going to happen in the future? Everything, because he is Chaitanyam, he is able to show this. Right? In Srimad Bhagavatam also, there are a lot of things spoken, what is going to happen in the future, in the 12th canto, isn't it? It says what will happen in this world, in the future, right? Because of that, you know, these people who do research work on different Vedic literature, right? They are saying that this is a, Bhagavatam is not that old. It's a recent compilation, they say, like that. They're saying that it talks about Buddha, it talks about so many other things, right? They'll say that these research people, they've got this nature. They think they have to say something different than what people believe in this world, because otherwise nobody will respect them. They have to bring their own theory to convince others, right? For example, Bhagavatam has already said that Kashmir will be swallowed by the Mlechas. Kashmir will be swallowed by the Mlechas. It is spoken in the Bhagavatam, right? And there will be problems. All those things is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but not so much in detail, but it's said like that, right? Only thing is, it has happened now. Thing has happened now more, right? So therefore, people will say that the Bhagavatam was written probably after independence, somebody has written this book. After the Kashmir problem has started, right? So this future, predictions and all that, and the past, future and the past, if it is all presented to you in one lot, what Krishna has done here, universal form, he has shown the past and he has shown the future also in one lot to Arjuna. And when he opened his mouth, fire is coming from there. And all these people who are there, they were going inside that mouth like flies go into the fire in the same way, right? So one group is going in, and there were others standing in queue on their way to go inside, right? And who is swallowing this universal form, is swallowing all these forms inside. Arjuna is having that experience, right? So here, a lot of these incidents, Krishna is taking all these things inside, going inside, right? But who gets the name for all this? Bhima gets, Arjuna gets, later on, right? Krishna said this to Arjuna. Arjuna, they are all finished actually. But you will get a name for this, right? And you can get the good name, fame from this, for killing all these people, right? But as far as I am concerned, they are all finished already. And there is a story in the Mahabharata about this. When the war was going on, Arjuna asking Vedavyasa Maharshi about it, right? That in the middle of this war going on, every day Arjuna says that I am standing there with this bow and arrow in my hand, and they are saying that when I shoot an arrow, people are seeing that it comes in the form of 10 arrows, 100 arrows, 1000 arrows, like that. And I was thinking even my arrow has been hitting the right target. I was not even sure about that. Who?
Arjuna.
Arjuna is saying to Vedavyas, but people are telling me like this, that when I was shooting the arrow, it was coming in the form of 10, 12, 100, 1000, like that. It was coming out, right? And they also said that sometimes one or two arrows may go into the right place where it should go, right? But I was having doubts about myself when I was shooting the arrow. But I noticed one thing, he says, a person who looked like a fire was going in front of me all the time, and he was destroying everybody. I could see that. Arjuna says this to Vedavyasa Maharshi during the Mahabharata war, right? And I was getting all the glory from the people that I've killed everybody. Vedavyasa Maharshi told Arjuna at that time that Krishna is the Samsara Murti, he is with you, he is doing all these things, right? Arjuna, you are just a machine, just a tool, that's all, right? But you will get the name because it will appear as though you have done everything, and Krishna has allowed that for you to get. Like Krishna said, janam janena janayan marayan mrityugandagam, right? So Bhagavatam is saying that, is it not? People are born in this world, they die in this world, and we are not responsible for that. That is Krishna's decision. Who should come here? Who should stay? Who should go? All these decisions are made from a Krishna's position, right? That is not in our hand, right? We will say that people are born because of those parents are responsible for that. That's why they were born, right? This is their father, this is their mother, things like that. Therefore he was born. And that is all just, they are just a channel, that's all. They are just a channel. So similarly, man, woman, this killing, fighting, all these things, if a jiva has to come to this world, Krishna makes a channel for them to come. That is father, mother. That's just a channel for them to come, right? And similarly, if somebody has to leave this world, Krishna also makes another channel for them to go through some form, fighting, killing, or disease, something like that. So these decisions are not in our hands. It's decided from a higher level. Unfortunately, we don't see all that. We only see that we are responsible for everything. We are not. So, and he decides that where we should come and appear in this world, who should be the parents, what should be, and everything is decided like that, in that way. This is the problem, because you can see after the Second World War, right, we say Hitler is responsible for the war. We can't say this outside because there is so much understanding about Hitler in that way, right? So if one person, Hitler alone, if he wants it, can he do that, right? You can see our own situation. Sometimes a mosquito comes and bites us, right? And you try to get the mosquito, you can't even get it. It will fly off. You keep beating here, there, everywhere. But mosquito keeps coming, right? So, because Ishwara's, Krishna's instruction is that mosquito should get its food, And that is already set up, whether it's your blood or my blood or whatever it is. It is meant for the mosquito. It will come and take it, right? So, in the same way, in the eyes of the world, Hitler may be a big villain, right? But without Krishna's approval, it cannot happen. What has happened in the form of that war? Everything was mobilized, a situation developed, people supported him, and because of that strength, he tried to do what he did, right? So, same thing if you observe any other natural disaster, say for example, tsunami, right? But when tsunami happens, we don't blame anybody, because there you feel helpless, you have no person to blame. Whereas Hitler came, and Second World War happened, we blamed on Hitler everything for that, right? Because Hitler, you can arrest him, put him into prison and all that. Tsunami, what will you do? Whom will you arrest? The fact is that we don't see the power behind all these things, what happens, right? Similarly, if an earthquake happens, whom will you blame? Nobody blames when an earthquake happens. We will only say, in the Richter scale, it is reading 7.5 or 8, and we are satisfied with that. We don't see any, ask any more questions after the earthquake, is it not? So you can understand from that, that so many things happen in this world, we blame everything. Sometimes in the war we say, he is responsible, that one is responsible, and all that. Actually, you can see there is a higher plan working behind everything, and they will decide, and that plan will happening. But certain people are used for that purpose. There must be a reason behind it, right? So, when an individual does something, we will blame him. He is responsible. Now, like everybody is saying, Trump is responsible for all the problems of this world, right? So, when an individual does that, we will say like that. Because in individual, there is a motive and there is ego behind it. Working, right? So, but just because he has got the ego and the motive in him, it is not going to happen. There will be other people who will come and to support him. And the who brings them together like this? That's Krishna. The higher power working behind that, right? So destruction comes. It's not only one person responsible. Many other people who are brought together to make that decision. To put tariff 100% and all that, what he's talking about. So if you look at his own words, you can see his mind is everywhere. Hundreds of things going on. War is going on in Venezuela. This problem in Ukraine, problem in Gaza, and the problems in the Middle East. Problems in Korea, with the North Korean, he has got problem with Modi, and he has got problem with everybody in this world. And you start wondering, does he get sleep at night with all these problems? Can anybody sleep like this? So what does that show? It shows that he is not making all the decisions. He has got people with him. There is a team around him who are discussing all these things, and separate decisions are made, and that's being implemented. And he is just a mouthpiece for everything. He says, I get good sleep. And not only that, he's sure he's going to heaven. No. Leaving the world. So you can see how foolish we are. These are the great people of this world. They are like this. Great personalities, right? If they are like that, imagine our state. These are people who have gone through this world in a big way. So this is the problem. People don't... If they can come to understand, if they are a little bit peaceful about this and understand that, there's a higher force working in this world which they don't accept because they want proof for that. What more higher proof do you need more than this, right? So, samharam or destruction, a lot of people are responsible for that. In Mahabharatam, Duryodhana says the same thing, he's right. Vidura is advising him all the time to come out of this, right? He says, Udryodhana says, oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. How many times have I said all these things? Explain it. Duryodhana says, I understand everything he says, what he said, right? And if you want authority, I can show you. It is mentioned in the Shastram also. Duryodhana is saying this, right? But I can't do anything about it. Janami bhadram nachame pravurti. Janami Janami dharmam nachame pravurti. I know what is dharmam, but I can't do it, he says. And similarly, janami adharmam nachame nivruti. I know what is right and I know what is wrong also. Janami dharmam nachame pravurti. I cannot do it, he says. Similarly, janami adharmam. I know what is adharmam, but I cannot withdraw from that. Nachame nivruti. Right? Kenabi devene hridisthidena yadha niyuktosmi tatha karomi. There is somebody inside me telling me this is what I should do, and I am doing that. I cannot stop that. This is the situation. It is the reality. It's a famous verse in the Mahabharata. Janami dharmam nachamai pravurti. Janami adharmam nachamai nivurti. Right? Kenami devene hridisthidena. There is somebody inside me who is present inside. Yadha niyuktosmi, as he dictates to me, tatha karomi, accordingly I do. And this is the, our all position is like this. Every one of us, right? And in spite of all that, our ego won't allow that this dictation is coming from inside, right? He's saying, somebody, he says, is inside telling me you do like this. And he's telling me you do and give all this trouble to the Pandavas. Throw them out from there. I'm being told from that from inside. So what am I supposed to do? Duryodhana is saying this, right? And that is why it is difficult to understand this, how Krishna works in this world. That we are thinking we are responsible for everything. Krishna is behind everything, right? So, Duryodhana said, what will I do? Don't tell me about dharmam, adharmam, he says to Vidura. I know what is dharmam and I know what's adharmam also. But I'm not able to do it. Somebody from inside is telling me I have to fight this war. And I have to give trouble to the Pandavas like this. They should learn. Somebody from inside is telling me that way. So this is why in Sri Rudram it says Taskaranam Padaya Nama. Taskaram Anam Padaya Nama, right? Krishna is also, all the dacoits, he is the head of everything. So, good and bad, everything. When good things happen, also, people ask this question, right? Why all these bad things happen in this world? This is their understanding of God. That's not Vedic understanding. Vedam says, good or bad, both comes from Him. This is a very important principle. Because people always ask this question, is it not? When war happens, or they say, how such bad things happen to such good people? Suppose somebody get murdered or killed, and after that they'll say about that person, he was such a nice person, everybody in the community liked him, and he was such a loving person, such a loving father, loving mother, this, that, and all kinds of things they say about that person who died, right? So, they don't realize that good or bad has nothing to do with Krishna's, right? And that's a difficult concept for modern religions to swallow, to accept this, right? That is the difference between the Vedic knowledge and all the other knowledge in this world, right? So he's saying that Amihitvam Surasanghas Dhritarashtras Amijatvam Dhritarashtrasya Putra Sarve Sahaivavani Pala Sankehi Bhishma Drona Sutaputra Sadaso Sahasmadiyabi Yodamukhehi. Then Arjuna is seeing that Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Drishtadyumna and many others, they all are dying in this war. Already he is seeing that. Yeah? So it's not only they are dying. Amihijvam Dhritarashtrasya Putraha. Hundreds of people, along with that, my people also, Pandavas army also, dying in that. Sarve Sahaiva Varibala Sangehi. And when I look at that, it's not only the Dhritarashtras and his people, our people also, that means Pandava's army also, because he could see the uniform, his own people going also, right? And they are going one after the other into it. Bhishma is there, Drona is there, Arjuna is seeing there that he also saw Karna there. Now, Karna is his elder brother. And what did he say here? Sudaputra. What does that show? You see? That Vasana inside, right? So, even that Vishwarupa Darshanam happens, but Arjuna Subhavam has not changed. That Ragadvesham inside about Karna. Is it not? Karna is his elder brother and he is saying Sudaputra. Normally a younger brother won't say like that. But he said that. Arjuna said that. Right? So, he is considered like that about Karna. Right? And many, many kings also who are present in that. They were dying. Because at that time, the system was not like today. The big kings had their army. So those kings will come with their army to fight the war. Those who have joined Arjuna's group or those who have joined Duryodhana's group separately. The king will come with their army and they will fight. Right? And in Parashurama incarnation also, he said that Kshatriyas don't listen. And therefore, he finished a lot of Kshatriyas at that time. Right? And he only required an axe to kill the Kshatriyas at that time. And with that axe he went along and killed many without any mercy. He killed many of them. Right? And afterwards, he gave all the land in charity. Parashurama did that. Everything in charity, right? And then he said, I have no place to sit for himself because he gave all the land in charity. Then he went to the seashore and threw the axe into the ocean and recovered the land from the ocean, which we call as Kerala today, right? And that's not what the history says, right? Recently one man said that when he went and stood there near the ocean, he saw somebody in the ocean far away standing there, searching for something. Then he found out it was Parashurama. What was Parashurama doing? He was looking for the axe to throw it back. Because he wanted Kerala to go underneath the water. They're talking about the current ministry. So corrupt and so useless. They are. So they're saying that they saw him standing there. Jokingly they're making this statement. Just to show that Parashurama gave us the land to live. And if you are abusing that land for all sinful activities, he's not going to tolerate this very long. One day he will come back and take the axe and throw it back again. And the whole thing will go. Once in all, it will be over. Right? So, so different incarnations has different purposes of coming here, right? And Parashurama is an Aveshavadaram. Aveshavadaram it is, right? And even then it was not completely cleaned up. Then Ramavadaram came, Sri Ramachandra came, right? Then Krishnavadara came after that, right? And in Ramavadaram, there was not many Kshatriyas involved. It was all Vanaras and Rakshasas. Mostly the fighting, right? In Parashurama Avadaram, there was one concession, right? They couldn't escape from Parashurama. All the Kshatriyas got so scared because of him. So Parashurama took a vow that he won't kill anyone who is married, right? So all Kshatriyas went and got married. To escape from Parashurama. That story is there in the Bhagavatam, right? And that is how even Dasharatha got married so many times because of that. Because of the fear of this. Because Parashurama frightened them so much that all the Kshatriyas started getting married, and many wives they had, and Dashara also got married in that way, right? So there was no other way of escaping from that. Then in Krishnavataram, Krishna, he came in a different way. It was a different approach altogether, right? So the goal was same, always, to sort out these Kshatriyas when they misbehave, right? So, and that's what he's saying here. Sarve sahaiva avani pala sanghaihi. Sarve sahaiva avani pala sanghaihi. Right? So, what kind of kings are they? These ones, right? In one launch, one stroke, he set fire to all of them together. Right? That is what that sarve sahaiva avani pala sanghaihi means. All the kings put together and set fire to them. Right? So, after this, you can see after the war also, was anyone happy? Nobody was happy. Is it not? You see how Yudhishthira felt after the war. That shows that the war never made anyone happy. Every time it's the same story. They fight the war and then comes out with the same situation, right? And it's the same thing after Second World War also. Hitler, Mussolini, all those people, right? Their deaths were also not very pleasant, the way they died, the way Hitler died or Mussolini died, all of them, right? So, Arjuna is seeing that Krishna is swallowing all of them and with delight, he is seeing this. He says, he is putting his tongue out and swallowing them inside. Yeah. And he is tasting that as well. You can see next verse. Vaktrani deturamana vishandi damstra karalani bhayanakani kejid vilegna dashanandareshu samdrishyande churnide uttamangehi damstra karalani. Vyaktrani vaktrani de twaramana vishandi damstra karalani bhayanagani kejidulegna dashanandareshu sandrishande churnidai uttamangehi. That what is saying Arjuna saying here, that everyone is being swallowed inside. And he's tasting them when they go inside, right? And how they go inside his mouth, universal form's mouth. That is this verse talking about. How they were going inside, right? They're not saying, you go in the front, I'll come at the back. No, they're all rushing towards inside, right? Twaramana vishandi, right? Twaramana means twara. Twara means urgency to go inside, right? So, reason is that, why that twara? They want to become one with the Krishna, one with Krishna, right? So, even though it is death, right? And any form doesn't matter, at least to die and become one with him. Come out of this bodily existence, right? So, damstra karalani bhayanagani, right? And the teeth, powerful teeth, big, big teeth, right? Towards that, they go inside, and this huge teeth inside the mouth of that universal form, right? Sometimes they get stuck there. And this universal form with its fingers is pushing it inside, those forms, yeah? And churnidai uttamangehi, he says, their heads and all are getting smashed into pieces. Uttamangam means head. Churnam means powder. It becomes a churnam for the uttamangam, for the head, right? Like, you see this tooth powder, dandadhavana churnam, they call it. Similarly, the heads are made churnam and swallowed inside. And he says, Kejit Vilegna Dashanandareshu Samdrishande Shurnade Uttamange. Then, how Yadha Nadhinam Bahavo Ambu Vegaha Samudrameva Vimukhadravandi Tathatavami Nareloga Vira Vishandi Vaktran Abhivijvalandi. Many rivers are flowing, one rushing towards the ocean to join the ocean. Right? Once they get into the ocean, there is no more form after that. River loses its identity. Right? Upanishad says the same thing. Yada nadyasya syandamanaha samudre ishtam gachandi namarupam vihaya. So, namarupam goes away when it goes and joins the ocean. In the same way, tada vidvan namarupam vimuktaha paralpara purusham upayedi divyam. So, all these great personalities, who are they? These great kings, who are very smart people, are they? Powerful kings they are. When they go there, what happens to them is that they are finished. They have all gone, disappears, over everything. And these are people who have been very successful in life, talking about these kings, right? And similarly in this world also, big, big people, when they get approached death at that moment, what is their value? It's over everything, what we have built up in this world, right? Naraloga Viraha, he says, Tathatavami Naraloga Viraha. They are all the famous heroes of this world. And once they go, it's just like the river going into the ocean. River disappears after that. Similarly, such a fast pace, they are going towards the mouth of this universal form and disappears. Life is like that, isn't it? Life is like that. Every single day goes away. Ayur nashyati pashyatam pratidinam. Our life is also going like that. It's like considered to be like a huge pot of water, but it has got a hole, and the water keep on dripping it through that in the same way. Or when a month is over, you tear off the calendar page. 12 pages there, one page you turn off in the same way. Similarly, Kala Purusha, time personified, is a Kala Purusha. We are being pushed into that mouth. We are on that way, right? So, Vishandi, Yathanadinam Bahu Ambu Vega. These are comparisons they are given. Samudra Mevabhi Ukhadravandi, Tathathavami Naraloga Veera, Vishandi Vaktran Abhivijalandi. Right? And similarly, he is giving another example. Why do they go? Yadha pradiptam jalanam padanga vishandi nashaya samardha vega tadaiva nashaya vishandi loga tabhavi vaktrani samardha vega. All these are to tell us how these different forms are disappearing. How the flies go towards the fire and they disappear after that. Vishandi nashaya samardha vega. Similarly, all these people, in order to get destroyed, they are rushing into your mouth, right? So, this journey towards death, right? In Yogava system, if you read, there are so many interesting things spoken there. Kalam is the one which is swallowing everybody, right? So, how many great personalities Kalam has eaten, right? For example, Devadas, Brahma, all this. So, in Bhagavatam, you will see this in the 12th canto, in the third chapter. to make us aware that all the stories of the great personalities spoken in the Bhagavatam. Yeah? Why did they do that? Ordinary people also there in this world. But Shukha Brahmarshi talked about all the big, big kings in the Bhagavatam. Is he not? The whole of ninth canto is all about the kings who rule the planet. And all other places also, if you look, most of the stories are centered around the kings. Prithu, Prajinabrahissa, Dhruva, Hiranyakashipu, all the great personalities. There were ordinary people in this world, nothing was spoken about them. Right? And why did he say like that? Only these great personalities, right? You will see in the end, he is saying this, 14th verse. Katha imaste katitham mahiyasam. It's a very interesting verse because this verse confuses people a lot. Yeah. Look at the verse. Katha imaste katitha mahiyasam vidaya logeshu yasha pareyusham vijnana vairagya vivachaya vibho vajo vibhudir nadu paramarthyam. That is the verse, right? Great, great personalities. Logeshu vidaya logeshu yasha pareyusham. There were such personalities that they have invaded whole land and brought it under their control. These great kings, right? And why was it said like that? Because to tell us that they also died and gone. You may be a great personality in this world and you may feel that you have conquered the world, you are on top of the world, as they say. And all these kings, because of their ego inside, they wanted to control the world and they became successful in that to an extent, right? But Shukha Brahmarshi says, I have said all these things to tell you that they have also gone. They also could not stay here, right? And so therefore, they created history in this world when they were here, right? But then what happened? They are also dead and gone from here, right? So, if people realize these things, then this desire for dominating the world won't be there. If they realize this. So, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, I have said all these things not that because I adore them, the kings. In order to create vijnanam and vairagyam in you, he says to Parikshit. And he is saying this to a king. Katha idaste kadidam mahiyasam vidaya logeshu yasha pareyusham vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. Learn something from this. What? Vijnanam vairagyam. These things. That our existence in this world is so momentary. It's not permanent. It's a short period of time. And from that, vairagyam should come. And proper ahankaram should go from inside. And these kings had that so much ahankaram in them. And they were people who have controlled this world through fighting and strength and physical strength and army and all that. They controlled this world for what? Ultimately, to be swallowed, to go and die like this. So, it is only for that purpose I have said about them, he said. Now you can see why Shukha Brahmarshi spoke about the kings in the Bhagavatam. Kada imam se kathitam mahiyasam vidaya logeshu yasha pareyusham vijnana vairagya vivachaya vibho vajo vibho der nadu paramarthyam. Because from the absolute platform, they were not real. Some names and forms have come here, done something, and their names and forms disappeared. That is not the reality, he is saying. In other words, don't get captivated by this, their heroic activities and their success in this world. That is their vajo vibhudir, nadu paramarthyam. That is not the reality. Reality is this, that they also died and left this world, left their body in this world. They also didn't have any permanent existence here and want to talk about others, right? So, in many ways it is spoken like this, that the kings have become, sometimes he becomes a worm in the next life, right? And similarly, a worm can come back to the king's body also. And so many people have come to conquer the world. You see, not Aurangzeb had come, and similarly Hyder Ali and all others, right? Ashoka came, and where are they now? Alexander came, Akbar came. Where have they gone? They have all gone. So, yada pradeeptam jalanam padanga vishandi nashaya samardha vegaha tadaiva nashaya vishandi logaha tava vivaktrani samardha vegaha. Then he says, a lamp which is burning and all the flies come into that fire and they give up their body and they die, right? Why? Because they are attracted to the fire, so they come, right? They are not able to stay away. With full force they will come, these flies, and the wings get burned, they drop dead there itself, right? Similarly, Arjuna is saying here, te vatrani, right? Yada pradeeptam jalanam padanga vishandi nashaya samruddha vegaha tadaiva nashaya vishandi logaha tavabi vatrani samruddha veha. Te vatrani, he says, that they are coming so fast into your mouth to give up their bodies, right? So this is the Visharupa Darshanam, the story of Visharupa Darshanam, right? If we have not seen death in front of us, then we will not know what is immortality means. Yeah. To know that there is death here, there is distress at the end, problems are there, and at the same time, we should also see the positive side of the life. Positive side as well as the negative side, right? So, universal form as a negative side as well as a positive side. In this world, many, many people, great personalities, others want to become like them. It's not. You will see that tendency in everybody. When they see great personalities, you want to become like that. Even in the spiritual field, it is like that. When you see the big sannyasis and big spiritual leaders, there is a tendency in everybody, followers, disciples, to become like the guru. They want to make it success like that. The fact is, you cannot become like another person. It's not possible. Yeah, but that realization won't come. And especially when you are young, you don't realize that. You think that he is my role model, the guru. And you are trying to do everything like the way he did. How he did business, how he lived his family life, how he did his preaching. Everything. There's a tendency in people to become like him, right? And that won't happen. That's not possible. I don't know whether you observed all these things. Many people, they wanted to sign like the way Prabhupada signed. Have you noticed their signatures? So many gurus, you see, after he left, they were putting their signature like the way Prabhupada was signing. They thought if we sign like him, we will also become like him. That urge inside to become like that, to imitate. You will see that in so many signatures. If you look, you will see this happening. So, the thing is that the tathātavāmi naraloga-vīra viśandi-vaktrāna-bhivijyolandi, right? So Arjuna is saying here also that the nature, as far as Krishna is concerned, right, people have this desire to become something. And that is something inherent in everyone because of the vasana inside. You want to become something, right? And from spiritual angle, it's not a good thing to be like that. When all desires go away, Krishna says, you will see your reality. Otherwise, you won't. So, so when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, the same problem was there, right? Arjuna is saying here that he has seen some great personalities in that battlefield. His, you know, elders, uncles, aunts, the grandchildren, and all of them. All of them are relations, isn't it? And they were all there with the weapons in the hand to fight the war, right? And Krishna is saying to Arjuna that this list what you have in front of you, and Arjuna was addressing them as relations, friends, this way, that way, you know, gurus and all that, he said, both Drona, grandfather Bhishma, things like that, all in relationship with the body he spoke, right? And also all the other great kings who were in the battlefield, who also had distant connection with the Pandavas and the Kauravas, right? And Krishna says to him that this is the most uncivilized list, he's saying, right? Because in the fourth chapter, Krishna is saying this, that you are saying about all these kings, big, big things, your relations and your this, but from my position, they're all useless. All these kings he's talking about, right? We are thinking all these people who fought the Mahabharata war were great personalities, right? But Krishna is saying they are all useless, right? And that is why Krishna said that verse, that Imam Vivasvade Yogam Proktavanaham Avyayam Vaivasvan Manave Praha Manurikshagave Bravid, right? So Krishna is saying, I have given this knowledge to Vaivasvan before, but that's all completely lost now. And this today's situation, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, is all these useless people have come as kings and they are running the world. They are running the world, right? And they are standing here, these useless ones are standing here ready to fight with the bow and arrow, right? And with this lot, I've realized that I can't change them because it's so bad. They've gone to that level. Therefore, I've decided to slaughter them. This is how Krishna has seen the battlefield, the kings who have come there. Arjuna was saying, they are all my relations, my friends, my guru, my this, my that. Krishna is saying, forget about all that. In my eyes, they are all totally useless, he said. So this is how Krishna's way of seeing is different than the way we see. We are seeing they are our relatives, they are our friends and families and this, that and the other. Arjuna is lamenting on that basis. Krishna is saying, your list is total nonsense, he says. As far as I am concerned, these kings who have come here, they cannot be repaired anymore. They can't be fixed because they are so degraded, like the way it happened before. And I have decided to butcher them, slaughter them now, right? And a new generation has to come. So sometimes Krishna makes decisions like that. He has to start everything fresh when the people get to such levels, right? So when Krishna showed all this form, universal form to him, and when they were coming like flies and falling into it, then he says that lelihyase grasa manas samandat logan samagran vaner jalbi tejobi rabuira jagal samagram vasastavogra pratapandi vishnu. You see that what he is saying here, lelihyase grasa manas samandat. Lelihyase means licking it out, licking with his tongue, right? So here you look at these verses, right? Earlier verses, Arjuna addressed to Krishna as Krishna or friend. Here he says Vishnu. He says he is looking at this and saying that this tongue in all directions it's working, licking, right? And that the tongue is tasting it. It's licking from all directions and the tongue is tasting that. Just like when we have something tasty to eat, we put our tongue out and start licking it and tasting it. In the same way, Krishna is also tasting each one of them while eating them, right? So, for Krishna, we are all very tasty stuff to eat, right? Like you see, like these lizards, when they get the fly, you see how their tongue outside, and when the fly gets stuck to that, and for some time it keeps on doing that with the tongue, enjoying that taste of the fly, right? So, that is what that lelihyase means. Is tasting it, everyone who is coming inside. So you can imagine, if you see a universal form like this, what will happen to any one of us, right? So at that time, Arjuna asked for having a darshanam of the universal form, right? But if you get a darshanam like this, what will be the situation? Yeah? So, tejobi rabuira jagal samagram. The whole creation is tejas, Krishna's tejas, right? And everybody is tapam, that means they are all burning inside, right? At that time, Arjuna got all this ugra svabhavam, what he has seen. He got scared and he is asking, Arjuna is asking, who are you? About to Krishna, he's asking, who are you actually? So, and this fearful form that is in front of me, the terrible form, I can't see your normal form. And in the same way, you will see when this fearful form of Krishna comes, even Arjuna got frightened. Right? And Melpatur also is speaking to Krishna. And Krishna is standing there with a kaubinam and dressed nicely in the morning. So, the night before, he spoke about Hiranyakashipu's activities. And then he said, I can't say anything more than that about him. Meanwhile, the pain started increasing. Krishna has put the pain more on his body. And without unable to explain everything further, he went back to sleep. And that night, Krishna told the Melpatur in the dream that tomorrow you are going to talk about Prahlada story, right? So when you bring Prahlada, I'm going to take away the pain from your body. You won't have any pain. And I would like to hear what you're going to say. So that's why next day morning when Melpatur came, every day he was compiling 10 verses. There's 100 chapters. Taught each chapter is 10 verses. Totally 1000 verses. But there is a few extra verses also. Total 1076 verses, right? So when he came back the next morning, he had no pain and he was in a very happy mood. Arthritis he was having, you see, arthritis. Arthritis pain comes and goes. Melpatur didn't feel any pain, so he gave a presentation to Krishna about what he saw there. That in the morning normally Krishna is dressed like that, with the kaupinam, with the flute in the hand and butter in the hand. That is how it is, right? So, at that time, he is asking, Prahlada is, Hiranyakashipu is asking Prahlada, where is your Vishnu? Kwaso, he says, are you kwaso? And Bhattadri could not write further. Manipatra could not write anymore. And his tongue became dried up, right? Because he saw that form there of Hiranyakashipu form. And instead, when he looked inside the temple, deity room, he could not see Krishna there with that kaupinam. Instead, he saw Narasimham there, right? And that frightening form of Narasimhamurti, right? In the same way, here Arjuna is saying that he could not handle this anymore, the fear that has come, right? In life also, sometimes it happens to others, right? Sometimes we say, I have not seen a form like this before. Look at the next verse. Akhyahimiko bhavan ugrarupam namostudi devavara prasidaha vichyadumichyami bhavandamadhyam nahi prajanami tava pravurtim. I have not seen a form like this. Who is this? And saying that, Arjuna started offering obeisances to him. From now onwards, it is Arjuna's surrender, right? Namostude Devavara Prasida is saying, right? You are the Adi Purusha. Vichyadmichyami Bhavanda Madhyam. You are the Adi Purusha, right? But I don't understand your activities. Why a form like this? Nahi Prajanami Tava Pravartim. Your activities are not known to me, right? Same way in life also, we ask sometimes these questions. Why Krishna has created it like this? Why all these problems he has created? Right? And people are, why not live people comfortably in this world? Why give them all this trouble? Similarly, you can see in life when disasters happen. Suppose sometimes a young person die, right? And others in the family lamenting about him, the one who died, right? And then people feel very depressed that they were thinking we'll all be happy together forever. But then somebody leaves in between. And the rest of the people together, in fifth canto that is spoken nicely. It says, the nature of our mindset, you see, people will come and join you in life, right? And then become so-called family. And then you will go for some time like that. And then suddenly somebody leaves you and go away. And whoever is left to balance, they will say, oh yes, God, now let's go together again. We'll continue life. This is what life is in this world, is it not? So the same thing, that our mind is like that. That mindset, you know, to stay together and to carry on with it like that. And then again somebody leaves. Or the someone who is leading, he leaves. And then the rest will say, we think that the family won't carry on if we are not there. This is the illusion in our head. If I am not there, how will the family, what will happen to the family? Every householder thinks like that. Isn't it? He's holding the fort. Or he's holding on his head, shoulders, everything. But he won't know this till he leaves. He knows that even if he goes away, things will go on in the family. They will adjust themselves and they will carry on with it. It's not because of you that they are. It's your prarabdha that is keeping you between them. Nothing else. But they don't realize that. They are thinking that they are running the family. If without me, what will happen to the family? Every householder has got this problem. It's difficult to get out of that. Because that's the very way it is. Householder lives, problems are this, right? And it's such a powerful force that is. They think that it is because of them that the family is surviving. Actually, it has nothing to do with that. The prarabdham is keeping them together. So if the householder goes one day, and sometimes this householder gives instructions to them when they leave the world, then you should make sure that everybody is taken care. The elder members of the family tells them, property should also be given to everybody. Everybody should have the right for the property. You should all live together. As though they were looking for your instruction at that moment. They are happy that you are gone as quickly as possible, left this world. That burden is over. That headache is over. Who wants an old man in the house? Nobody wants it. Or an old woman. Right? It's just a burden for others. So basically they are happy if you are gone. And this man doesn't recognize that. They are thinking that it's because of him everything is kept together. He is thinking like that. That's Maya. That's how Maya works in this world. Maya won't let you think independently. In your thoughts also she will come and interfere and make you to think like that. Yeah. So that is what he is saying here also, that Krishna has his own way of sorting out the problems of this world. If your prarabdham is over, he is looking at you not as a householder. He is looking at your prarabdham only. If prarabdham is over, he'll take you out. Regime change will happen that time. You know, like they take out the government in some places, is it not? The Americans do that. They take out the government and put a new government in their place, whom they want. In the same way, family life also, Kalam does that. Kalam decided that you are not required there anymore. You have somewhere else to go. You are taken out from there. But we say, when death happens, we say, why did this happen? Why Krishna has done like this? They were all dependent on that person for their survival in this world. And things like that, we talk about it in that way. So, with our little intelligence, when we look at it like that, you won't be able to understand Krishna's activities. Right? Why he has done like this? And what is the reason and all that. Therefore, kartam akarta anyatha kartum. That is how it is spoken, right? It is unscrutable. It is not possible to analyze Krishna's decisions, right? And that is what Arjuna is saying here. Nahi prajanami tava pravrtim. Nahi prajanami tava pravrtim. 31 verse, last line. That's what he means by that. Nahi prajanami tava pravrtim. Your decisions, activities, nahi prajanami. It is not possible to know. From our side, we will look at it in a different way. Vijnyadu vichyami bhavanda madhyam. Nahi prajanami tava pravrtim. He said. Your activities is unknown and it's a mystery. How you make decisions. And that's a fact. We don't know that. Yeah. So, what you have to understand here is, Arjuna is looking at this form. What is that form? That form cannot be understood by mind or intelligence. Means it won't give way easily. Universal form is not subjected to mind or intelligence. It is purna vastu, it is pure consciousness, it is in that form, right? And he has fallen into this illusion, who? Arjuna, right? And he is not able to understand all these activities, what is going on. Only one thing what he can say here is that he is saying here, Namo astude deva vara prasida. My obeisances to you. I cannot say anything more than that. Right? So, Krishna Arjuna offers obeisances at this point in time. And Arjuna is saying to Krishna that, I don't understand you. Right? I don't understand you. Right? And that is the next verse. We'll talk about it. Krishna is revealing his identity to him. Who I am. Krishna is showing his identity card to Arjuna. This is me. That's the next verse. We'll talk after a few minutes. चेतोदर्पणमर्जनम् वौमहादावाग्निनिर्वापणम् श्रेयकैदवचन्द्रियाविदरणम् विद्यावधूजीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनम् प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनम् सर्वात्मासुभनम् वरम् विजयिते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निजसर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निविदा स्मरणेन काल एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन्ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणारभीषुणी जैना तरोरभी सहिष्णुना अमानिनामानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न धनम् न जनम् न सुन्दरीम् कविताम् वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदाद्भक्तिरहेतुवित्वयि अयि नन्दतनुजकिङ्करम् पतिताम् माम् वृषभे भवाम्बुधौ कृपया तौ पादपङ्कजस्थितधूलीसदृशम् विचिन्तय नयनम् गलदशुधारया वदनम् गद्गदरुद्धया गिर पुलगैर्निदङ्गदावभूतवन्नामग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधम् निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधम् शून्यायुधम् जगत्सर्वम् गोविन्दविरहेण मे आशिष्य वा पादरदाम् विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनाम् मर्महदाम् करोतु वा यदा तदा वा विदधा दुलम्बडो मत्प्राणनादास्तु नैव नापर सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द When Krishna Arjuna said, Nahi prajanami tava pravartim, he said, I don't understand you, he said. Yeah. So at that time, and I asked, he asked, who are you? That Krishna Arjuna was finding it difficult to know Krishna. Krishna is saying, Krishna is revealing himself, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Kalosmi, I am Kalam. Kalosmi. Lokashekal pravardhaha, in order to destroy this world, I'll come. लोकान् समाहर्तुमिह प्रवृत्ताः हृदये वित्वन्न भविष्यन्ति सर्वे यो अवस्थिते प्रत्यनीकेषु योधाः देन् ऐ आम् कालम् नाट् डिफ्रेण्ट् फ्रम् टैम् एण्ड् इन् आर्डर् टु डिस्ट्राय् द वर्ल्ड् एण्ड् वेन् ऐ एम् रेडी टु फिनिश् दम् इवन् इफ् यु आर् नाट् देर् द जाब् विल् बि डन् ऐ केन् डू देट् विदौट् यू आल्सो रैट् And Kalasmi Lokakshayam Loganam Kshayam Karuti. So, we think of Krishna as son of Devaki or Yashoda Devi's child, Vasudev's child, Nanda Maharaj's son and all that. But, Krishna has come to establish dharma, dharma samsthapanarthaya. In order for the benefit of this world, so here, earlier he said, Arjuna said, in previous verses, right, Vasastavogra Pratapandi Vishnu, addressing as Vishnu. He said, Vasastavagra Pratapandi Vishnu, 30th verse. Here, Krishna is saying, Kalosmi, I am time, right? Do you know who I am? He says, Kalosmi Loka Kshayar Pravardhaha. That I am Kala Purusha, Kalam, right? In other words, Kalam is normally referred to Kala Bhairava. Rudra form. I am that Rudra in that form, Samharam. Right? Why? Kalosmi Loka Kshayar Pravardha. In order to, for Kshayam, to destroy everything. Samharam. And we think that it is, destruction means total annihilation. No, Krishna is saying, it is auspicious form of me. Rudra, Samhara Rudra, is my auspicious form of destruction. Its form is auspicious, but it can carries out the destruction of everything, right? And that is why this form associated with Shiva, Shiva is, the word Shiva means auspicious, Mangalam, right? And that is why he is in the cemetery where all the dead bodies are brought. He is most auspicious and he lives in the cemetery. In other words, why is it like that? Cemetery is an auspicious place because that's where you get rid of your body at the end, is it not? So therefore, it's a place where you get a good realization when you go to cemetery. When you see all the dead bodies or getting burned, what is that creates feeling inside us? This is my end. Otherwise you don't think about it. If you are all the time in the association of devotees and association of your friends and family, we don't think about death, is it not? But when you go to the cemetery and when you see the death happening, the dead bodies are brought inside, it reminds you of the reality also. Krishna is saying that, yeah? Logakshaya krit logan samahartha miha pravartaha hridevidzon nabhavishyanti sarve. So, that is the reason that it is the best place for meditation, the cemetery, right? This word Kashi, it has got another meaning, cemetery, the word, right? If you see when you go to Kashi, what you see, dead body after dead body, people being brought from different places and set into the fire and thrown into the river, to the Ganga River, right? So, if one is a little bit thoughtful, you will think that this is the end of all the journey comes to us, right? So, I am ready to put it together and destroy the whole thing, Krishna says. Samahartam, to withdraw, to swallow, right? So, if you think that, Hridaye vidvanna bhavishyanti sarve, ye avasthita pratya nigesho yodha, even if you don't fight, doesn't matter, Krishna says. It will happen. Right? And you are just a toy in the middle of all these things. The decision has been made before and the plans have already been made for execution also. And you think you are doing all these things, he says. Right? And you are thinking this battle is not worthwhile. He says, if you are not there, they will still survive in this world? Or you think, Krishna is saying directly to him, do you think you are indispensable to Arjuna? Krishna is saying this, right? Na bhavishyandi. Hridevitva na bhavishyandi. He says, you think it won't happen if you are not there? Hridevitva na bhavishyandi sarva ye avasthita pratya nigashi yodhaha. So, in order to kill Bhishma, Drona and all that, I don't need you for that, he says. I have kept you as a reason, cause behind that temporarily here, right? And you don't even have the power to decide or to say that I will not fight. Even that power you don't have to say that I won't fight, right? Even if you're not there, this will all happen. And these are all secret behind this Krishna's creation, right? So, when we talk about this world, when so about several things in this world, we say this is why this war happened, that war happened, and all that. We must remember this verse: Kalosmi loga kshayakrita pravardaha. Logan samahartum iha pravartaha hridevitva na bhavishyanti sarve ev avasthita pratyanigeshu yodhaha. Right? Even if we are not there or somebody else is there, it will happen. All these things will happen. And we are thinking that if we can control them and destroy them, all our problems will be solved. Right? And even if you take them out, the world is not going to change. Right? It will still happen, all these things. Actually, there is nobody here who is doing anything. Everything is done by that higher power, right? Just like we think that we are running our family. It's not the same mistake we think. Because of that, the family life is, families together and families working well, right? And similarly, when something goes wrong in the family also, we think we didn't manage it well. That's why it has happened. Is it not? We blame ourselves. Sometimes when things go wrong in the family, children didn't come out well, or something happened to the wife, didn't happy, relationship didn't work well. We blame ourselves. But in all these things, Krishna is saying that you have to see a hand behind that working. Yeah. Kalospi loka kshekar pravardaha. Lokan samahartam iha pravartaha. Kadevito nabhavishyanti sarve. Yo avastida pratyanigashi yodhaha. Normally our mind won't allow that to happen. We will start analyzing it and trying to find some solution to the problem, what has happened. But that's because the attachment we have built up inside to everything. Unable to... They ask the question to Krishna, why is that you are hearing all Bhagavad Gita, still not able to act on that? Why is that? That question comes up later. Krishna answered, it's very simple. Icha dvesha samutvena dundu mohena bharada sarvabhudani samam sargeyanti parandava. He said, that's all. The answer is that. Icha dvesham, ragam dvesham. That is built up inside strongly. Raga means attachment to family, friends, whatever it is. Dvesham or hate towards them. As long as these two things are there, Krishna says, all this Bhagavad Gita knowledge will not be possible to put it in practice. That's a simple thing. Icha dvesha samuthena dvandu mohena bharata. Because icha raga dvesha means dvandu. Is it not? Duality it is. Ragam. This is good, this is bad. And as long as dundum is there, this Bhagavad Gita knowledge is not practical. You can study it as much as you want and analyze it, memorize all the verses, everything. But till this ragadvesham goes away from inside, ichadvesha samanti, dundum ohena bharada, and all living entities, Krishna says, sarva bhudani sammoham. All the living entities in the world, Sargeya, in the creation, Yandi Paranda. Sarabhudani Samam, Sargeya Yandi Parandava. Arjuna, there is no way of becoming free from this. This knowledge is great, right? What is spoken about the soul, Antaryami, self realization. Everything is great, but it cannot be put into practice. And the main problem for that is Icha Dvesham, Raga Dvesham. Dundum, duality in us, in all of us. This is good, this is bad. This is right, this is wrong. This I like, this I don't like. I have to move, come out of this, go beyond than this. Then this knowledge will be effective. Otherwise this knowledge won't work. We'll be studying the verses, but we'll be fighting the battle in the world with everybody. We want to correct the world also at the same time. That won't work. World will go its own way. It's not in your hands to change the world. You've got to learn the way how to escape from this. How to free yourself from the grip of Maya. So when this happens, later on you will see that verse. That the main problem with this is this Ichadvesham is all coming from Maya. You see, Ragadvesham. And similarly, Kamam, Krotham, Lobham, Moham, Madam, Matsaryam. All the other things also. And they are all in the mind. Mind means all these things only. Which one? Ragadvesham, Kalmasham, it is called. Kam, Krotha, Lobha, Mohammadam, Alsaryam. This is called mind. Mind is that, right? So unless this whole thing goes away, the mind goes away, there is no hope. And the mind has to go, therefore Chittashuddhi has to happen. And all the process, what is spoken as yoga, karma yogam, bhakti yogam, jnana yogam, is only to help that process. To make the mind free from all these things through knowledge, through bhakti, through karma yoga in this way. So you see in Bhagavad Gita, if you look at it carefully, second chapter is pure knowledge it is, Sankhyam. That's why it's called Sankhyam, isn't it? Sankhyam is the perfect knowledge is spoken. Then rest of it after that, it is all the blocks that is not allowing us to realize that knowledge. Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga. All the other yoga processes comes after that. Second chapter is the knowledge of the soul. Krishna explained to us what it means, right? And he told us about Sthita Prajnatvam, and he talked about Vyavasaya Almiya Buddhi and all that in the second chapter. But why are we not able to have it? Vyavasaya Almiya Buddhi or Sthita Prajnatvam? That's where all the problems are. And that's what all these other things are. Raga Dvesham. All the other impurities. And then the rest of it is all the battle against the mind. Abhyasa Yogam, Dhyana Yogam, Akshara Brahma Yogam, and Vishwarupa Darshana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, Jnana Yogam, all kinds of yogam spoken one after the other, right? For what? To completely kill this thing called mind. It does not, because mind means all these things. Ragadvesham, Kamakrotham, Lobamoham, Madhamatsaryam, all these things. So that is where it is coming from here. Yeah? So that's what he said, Krishna is saying here, that this verse you have to remember. When Krishna, instead of blaming anyone for the situation in this world, kalosmi, Krishna is running the show. One who has created this world knows how to run it also. He didn't create it and just left it to us to run it. One who has created it, he knows how to run that. That's what he's saying. Kalosmi loga kshayagat pravrtaha. Logan samahartum iha pravrtaha. Krithe vitva na bhavishyanti sarve. Yo avasthita prati nigashyotha. In other words, even if they are not there, all these things will happen. We are thinking that we will destroy them and then everything we will... This is an illusion in all these leaders' head. All these big leaders have got this misunderstanding that they are going to sort it out in their own way, right? And they are thinking that if you take out these people, the world will be better. All these people are thinking like that. They think if the other people, if I take them out, like Netanyahu is thinking that if all the Muslims are taken out, Palestinians are taken out, Israel is going to be happy. No, it won't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And the same thing in the other side also, opposite way. Palestinians are thinking if Israel is destroyed, they will all be happy together. But we don't see that happening, is it? They're all fighting again in their own way. So, but because the Shastram is not there, this is the problem with these religions. Shastram is not there to educate them properly. If you study Bhagavad Gita, you won't be carried away by all these things, right? And therefore, they get to, for them, somebody has to be there all the time telling them what's the right thing, what's the right thing, and guide them in the right direction. Otherwise, they are lost. They'll completely fall into the body identity and start fighting each other. They cannot remain without that. But when this knowledge is there, you don't quickly get victimized like this. Krishna is saying this, that ye avasthita pratya nigashayotaha, right? So, actually there is nobody here doing anything, right? Like we said, that we are thinking that we are running the family in the same way. But with spiritual understanding, with knowledge of Bhagavad Gita moving in, you start seeing things properly. Without any, without any glare, or in other words, your vision is clearer that time. You see the reality as it is, right? Everyone in this world is just an instrument in Krishna's hands, right? And that is what Krishna is saying, I am Kala Purusha. I am Kala Purusha, right? So, in Shivananda Lahiri, Ajari Swami is also saying this, Samhara Murti, Ananda Sandro Bhavan. When he is doing samharam, destruction also, he is happy. Ananda Sandro Bhavan, he says. Right? when destruction comes, we get frightened, is it not? Right? But Krishna is concerned, destruction of this world is just like we killing a mosquito like this. That's all for him, right? And he doesn't think it's a big thing from his position, right? in Krishna's universal form, we are not even a mosquito, even smaller than that, right? And when we are saying that there is so much struggle, suffering here, hridevitva na bhavishyanti sarve means that how long we will be here? If you think of us as mosquitoes, how long are you going to be here, right? And somewhere or the other, you will die and leave this body. Vritrasura said this in the prayers, isn't it? So, he says to Indra that dying in the battlefield is how glorious, he says. After all, I have to die anyway. And instead of dying in a hospital bed, all the time coughing and puffing and panting, and like a diseased patient in the death bed, and always cursing everybody, and suffering for many days, and dying like that. And sometimes the doctors come and puts all the attachments on your body, different tubes and pipes and machines, everything. And their nurse is coming and taking the reading, and you are leaving the world, and they are taking the reading. This is our situation at the end, is it not? So, and sometimes they will say, people are in such a desperate situations. So many things connected up to your body, and they want to make sure that you are still living. They won't let you go. Connected you with all these kinds of attachments to the body, right? So, sometimes when they pulled out all the connections, pipes and tubes and everything what they fitted, you got up happily from that. You didn't die. Then the children, sons and daughters, they are all feeling unhappy that you have woke up. They thought it's over. But he has come back again. Bouncing back, they say. He has bounced back. And they are upset about that because it's not over yet. Right? So, they have kept all their will, everything ready. This is the family life, actually. We think that, oh, make a big show out of it. But actual reality is like this, right? So, when we have kept all the will, everything ready is coming back again. Completely upset the whole plan, right? So, and then for another 10 years he lives. Then again back to hospital. And then they are saying to each other, will he come back again this time? This all happens in the family life. You may think laughing at it now, I'm laughing also. But I know this is how it is, this family life. He's like this, right? Every time you go to the hospital, they think, oh, that's over now, but he's coming back again. So that is why Vritrasura said, is it not better to die in the battlefield without all these headaches behind us, right? All finished in one bomb, or in 1 second it's over, right? And anyway, these are all Krishna's decisions, right? And who are we to decide on this? He decides how we should die, where we should die, when we should die. All it's his decisions, right? So, some people, you see, wherever they live, in whatever conditions you put them, they won't die. They will survive. So many examples like that, you can observe that, right? Even if the bomb falls on them, they won't die. That's how it is. Some people, how they survive in this world, if you observe them, they don't eat properly, they don't have the food to eat, due to poverty, many reasons, right? And then some of their habits are also very destroying habits, alcohol, eating all kinds of stuff, and then absolutely no spiritual life or culture, still they survive in this world, right? Because why is that? Because there is a lot of prarabdham left still. That's where they have to stay. And still they have to give a lot of trouble to other people. And they will be hanging around in that body for a long time to come, right? You look at some of these politicians, they're like that, right? Till 85, 90, they will live in this world for the benefit of the world. They are the biggest scoundrels in this world, these politicians, right? Absolutely not truthful about anything, what they speak, what they do, no connection between the two. And then always want power in the hand, no morals, no values, nothing. And they think that they are serving the society. This kind of duplicitous behavior, right? The reason is this, that the time is not ripe yet for them to go, right? And Krishna is saying here, this is the reason why I have kept them like that, right? So in order to able to die in life is also something very good. If you are able to leave this world without giving any trouble to others, right? So, and not only that, when the death comes very closer to us, right? Actually within ourselves that desire becomes stronger to leave quickly. When the destiny comes for to die, for our death to come closer to us, you will see that happening to the individual. Individual started feeling the need to leave quickly as possible, right? And like we have hunger, thirst for the body, similarly a desire will come to leave the body as well, right? So, just like we have hunger, the hunger for death will come at that time. Mrityur yasya upasechanam says, upasechanam means what you taste for while eating a meal. There are certain things which you use it to get a taste, isn't it? Like pickles and things like that. Similarly, mrityu is like at the time of death, it's like a upasechanam. It's like something you want straight away to get some taste, right? So, when Krishna comes like this, like he said, is kalosmi. Kalosmi loka shayat pravodaha, right? It is not anything different in the sense that people who have this understanding, Krishna is saying, what will happen to them when they die, they come back to me. They don't go anywhere else, right? Why should, that's what Vritrasura said in the Bhagavatam, right? And he says to Indra that you cut my head off, he said. Cut my head off, right? You have worked very hard, performed penances, everything, and you have created this thunderbolt with which he was fighting, Indra was fighting, right? And because of this, this body, Vritrasura is saying this, he is Chitrakedu, isn't it? Devotee he is. But he had to, due to Prarabdham, he had to get that body. Sri Parvati cursed him. And Vritrasura, Chitrakedu said, I have some Prarabdham in me, some Asura Vasana in me, to go through an Asura body. So I am accepting that, in that way. He didn't say anything back to Sri Parvati when she cursed him. And he happily accepted that body. And then this whole thing happened between him and Indra. So, because I have this body like this, this asuric nature is still there in me. If you cut then kill this body away from me, my asura swabhavam will also go with that, he said. And if this goes away, then he said, like Nadi, like the river goes and joins the ocean, I will go back to Krishna, he said. I won't be there in this body anymore. And so the one thing that prevents me in going back to Krishna is this body. Vritrasura said this. Yeah. And therefore, Indra, you are my best friend. Kill me straight away if you can, right? And you have prepared this Vajrayudham, thunderbolt, for that purpose. And you are so compassionate, and I am in a rush to leave this body, and due to these blessings, that I have to see that you are Krishna Swarupam, and you have come and perform penances, and come fully prepared for that, to bless me, right? Cut, kill me, he said. So, kalosmi. Kalosmi, kalam, right? So that is, that kalosmi is Krishna's department. Kalam is Krishna's department. It's not in our control, right? So, and the day we were born, from that day onwards, kalam is behind us, chasing us always, right? But he has decided not to take us out yet. And therefore we are walking still here. Otherwise we could be gone. So, Normally we will say there is prayers for that. Anayasena maranam. I should be able to die without suffering too much. Vina dainena jividam. Without struggle, carry on with the life in this world. Yeah. All these prayers are there, but how the death will come, nobody knows about our own. All of us will die different ways. Every one of us will die in a different way from this world, right? And in one sense, self-realization itself is a death. Yeah. Because when self-realization happens, then there is no more body after that. Mind is not there. So, it is self-realization is also considered to be a mrityu. And though, so, that is a darshanam of Krishna, right? And that is why that Lord Shiva's dancing, Nataraja, that Tandavam, called Shiva Tandavam, right? So, Kala Purusha is a Tandavam. So, that verse actually is referring to Lord Shiva's activities, right? Krishna has come as Kala Purusha in front of him, right? And he says, Arjuna, I have taken this form to destroy everybody, right? I don't need you or Bhima or anybody, and I can on my own finish up this whole thing, Krishna is saying, right? In the middle of Mahabharata war, Arjuna was not fighting sometimes with his full strength. He was not doing it, right? He says, at that moment, Krishna says to Arjuna, keep that bow and arrow away. I will take care of it. And when Krishna, that is the time Krishna jumped out and went towards Bhishma in the battlefield, right? And when he was going towards Bhishma, Krishna was saying to Arjuna that you are not fighting properly, right? You are standing talking this nonsense, this and that, but you are not doing your duty, work, he said. And I will finish up right now, and saying that he jumped in front of Bhishma, right? And I will finish up this whole battle by evening today. And Krishna is concerned. He wanted to finish this battle as quickly as possible, right? I think Krishna likes one day match. Not the way this 5-day test match he doesn't like. He wanted to finish it in one day, right? Even 18 days was too much for him. He didn't want that all that to go on like this, right? And he says to Arjuna, don't extend this too much. Already I have decided, and if you are not there, I will finish it up quickly. But because you are there, that's what that word means. Samahartumiha pravurtaha. Logan samahartumiha pravurtaha. Right? Hrudevichonna bhavishandhi sarveye vastada pratyanigashiyodha. That even if you are not there, I have already finished them. I am ready to wind it up. Right? And you are looking at all these people are still alive who are standing there? No, they are dead. Krishna says they are finished, right? And in your eyes you are seeing this is Bhishma, this is Drona, this is Karna and all that thing. This is Duryodhana and all that. But in my, as far as I am concerned, for me it is like a different dishes in a feast. You know, in a feast you have all different types of dishes, different types of vegetables, papadam and all other sweets and all kinds of 108 dishes what we talk about. Krishna says they are all like the dishes for me, ready to be eaten. They are all finished actually, he says, right? So, and they are standing there just like they have lost their life, they are still standing there ready to fall. Like this way, right? It won't take very long, Krishna says to Arjuna, Sarvan samahartu miha pravurtaha. That's the famous words. Kalosmi logat shayagat pravurtaha. Logan samahartu miha pravurtaha. Right? So, and I'm standing here with hunger to eat all of them. And I'm sitting in this chariot waiting for them to finish, for the job to finish. I'm waiting in the chariot, he says. And I can't stop you because I'm feeling so hungry, he says. He's talking as though like he had his appetite for the butter in the same way, right? He's remembering all that butter he has eaten in Vrindavanam with the gopis, right? And in this, it was so easy to take it and eat it. And in the same way, sarvan samahartu miha pravartaha. And that is Krishna's mercy. When Krishna says, I'm ready to swallow them, means they all get liberated at the same time. Everyone who fought in that war got liberated because they have seen, leaving the body, seeing Krishna. Hridaye vidvan na bhavishyanti sarve ye avasthita pratyanigyoshi yodaha. Bhishma said this in his Bhishma Stuti. He says, and he came, Bhishma says, Krishna came to the battlefield and he looked at everyone. That's over. With that it was over. Bhishma said this in the Bhishma Stuti, right? Then when he got into the chariot, I knew what is he going to do now, because the war is over actually. From Bhishma understood that everyone is dead, right? But still, this is a drama going on now. It's not a battlefield anymore. And the drama has to have an end. And for that purpose, Krishna has given some trouble to Arjuna to finish, right? So, Bhishma started fighting with Arjuna in the battlefield, right? And Arjuna was fighting very fiercely with Bhishma. And at that moment, Bhishma decided to fight with Krishna directly, right? And he shot arrows on Krishna, on Krishna's body. And they come and hit Krishna's body and the blood was coming out from Krishna's body. At that time, Krishna felt that Arjuna is not fighting properly. And then he took the Sudarshana disc and jumped out of the chariot towards Bhishma, right? So Bhishma is saying, I wanted to see that. This is why I did that, he says. I wanted to see Krishna taking the weapon and coming towards me, right? So Arjuna runs after Krishna, holds Krishna's hands and legs, telling him not to fight because you have taken this vow that you won't take weapon during the war, right? But message from Krishna to Arjuna was, even if you are not there, they will all be finished in a few minutes, right? Therefore, tasmat, look at what they say, Krishna says, the next word, tasmat tomuttishtayasho lebhasva jitva shantrum bhumshirajyam samardham Maye vede nihida purvameva nimitta matram bhava savyasachin tasmatvamuttishtaya sholyavasva jitva shantrum bhongsharajyam samardham Maye vede nihida purvameva nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. You have got this name as Savyasachi because he can do with both hands, he can shoot the arrows, right? And he could do it with the left hand, and as well as with the right hand. And normally he is left-handed, Arjuna. Hey, Savyasachi, Arjuna, your name and fame, I have created that. He's not. You don't have anything. Right? Nothing is yours. That's tasmatumuttishta yashwala bhaswa. So therefore, if you get up and fight uttishta, you will get what? Yashwala bhaswa. Yashasa. You will get, tomorrow your name will be in the paper. You will be glorified in the paper. Your name will come. Yashwala bhaswa. Right? And jitva shantrum bhunkshirajam samardham Maye vede nihida purumeva, that nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. You can enjoy both kingdom as well as you also have don't have to worry because already they have been killed. Jitva Shantrun Bhumshi Rajam Smardam. Why? Maye Vede Nihada Purva Mayam. I have already killed them. You don't have to do anything, but you can get the name if you shoot the arrow. And you have won the war. Everybody will say Arjuna won. But the fact is, Jitva Shatrun Bhumshi Rajam Samardam. And you have got two things. Your name and fame will go up, and you will also get the kingdom. Samardham, Rajam Samardham. You will have all that. And you don't have to worry about it. Why? Maye Vede Nihada Puram Evam. I have already killed them. You are only Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sajan. You just have to be a Nimitta, a cause behind that. Right? So, what does that mean? It means that whether it is good or bad, whatever it may be, if you remain as a Nimittam, what's the English word, Nimittam?
Instrument.
Yeah, you can say like that, instrument, yeah. If you remain as an instrument, then there is no ego, right? Ahankaram is not there. And then what does happen? Ishvara is doing everything. That is the right situation. To remain as Ishvara is doing everything, I'm just an instrument. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. I'm just an instrument, right? So that is what Krishna expects the jiva to be. Without ahankaram to stay in this world, that Krishna is doing everything, accepting that. Yeah? So, Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Tasmatam uttishta bhishma drona prabhadaya adhirada ajayo deva abhi arjunena jita yasho labhasva kevalam punne hitat prapide jitva shatron. So therefore, he says to Arjuna, wake up. And Bhishma and Drona are great personalities who cannot be won by others. But you will get the fame that you have defeated them. And these enemies of you, Duryodhana and others, win over them and enjoy the kingdom as much as you want, says Krishna to Arjuna, right? Because I have already killed them. They are done. They are finished, right? And Savyasaji, you, is only an instrument. That's what he said, right? So, then, Dronanja Bhishmamcha Jayadradamcha Karnam Tadanya Anabiyodha Viran Mayahadamstum Jihima Vyadhishtaham Yudhyasya Jetasi Rane Savatnan. Actually, Drona, Bhishma, Karna, Jayadrada, they are all being killed, basically. Yeah. And all the other powerful warriors, everybody is not listed here. Drona, Bhishma, Karna, and Jayadrada, they are all mentioned, right? Tadanyanibi Yodhaviran, Maya Hadam Swam. I am already killed, right? If you look in earlier, Krishna says, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, Yoga Maya Samavrata, Mudhoyam Nabi Janati, Lokomam Ajamavyayam. That's the verse before, right? So, Krishna himself says that Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. Krishna is saying this, that even though I am present everywhere, they do not know me. Krishna is present in Bhishma, Krishna is present in Drona, Karna, Jayadrada, everybody. Krishna is present in all of them. That means, strictly speaking, only Krishna exists. Is it not? Actually, only Krishna exists everywhere. Whether it is Kauravas, whether it is Pandavas. That's what that verse is saying. Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. But Yoga Maya Samavrataha. Yogamaya has covered them in such a way that Maya's name is this Yogamaya, right? Samavridaha, that means the covering potency. It covers everyone. Covers what? Our buddhi. Our buddhi is covered by that. And this Yogamaya, how it manifests in everybody, right, is in the form of avidya. This Maya, it manifests in all of us in the form of avidya, right? And that's what Krishna is saying in that verse, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavritaha. Samavrita means that Avarana Shakti, the covering nature of the Maya, covering nature of Maya. And because of that, what he said, Mudhoyam Nabi Janadi. Krishna is saying, this whole world is mudhas, because they don't see me. They are carried away by their ahangaram. So, Mudhoyam Nabi Janadi. So, Krishna calls it as mudha there. Mudhoyam Nabi Janadi. Like Ajari Swami said, that is name. Mudhamate. Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhaja, Mudhamate, he said. Right? Why did he say that? When somebody asked him, why you say mudha? He said, Ajari Swami said, I didn't say that. Krishna said that, he said. I didn't say that. Krishna has said that. Right? So, mudha means, basically mudha means, one who has got this avidya inside. Ajnanam. Ajnanam. Avardham. Right? So, even though soul, consciousness, is present all over the creation and is more powerful than the sunshine because it's present in everywhere and everything, right? But still we are not able to see him. That is what that modatham means. Because of this covering inside us, avidya, covering, right? Actually, Shastram says, he is more powerful in illumination than the sun even, who this soul, consciousness, right? And that is how Vedam says, Upanishad says, Swayam Prakashakatvam in him. Like you remember we were discussing in the Bhagavadam, Swayam Prakashakatvam. It makes you aware of its existence without anybody's help. And it is because of this consciousness only, sun and the moon is shining. Because consciousness is present there also, in the sun and the moon. In other words, this is more powerful than the sun and the moon. Because sun and moon is getting its power from this consciousness, Atma, right? So, if that is so powerful, illumination, then we should be able to see that consciousness, isn't it? Because it's the most powerful one. One sun in the sky, right? And on Amavasya day, you see, by evening, he's gone in the night, right? And poets will say like this, sun is a friend of the lotus flower, because only when the sun comes in the morning, lotus flower will open up. And lotus flower closes in the evening. You know what that is, right? Similarly, Krishna is the sun, right? Or if that Krishna, the sun, Antaryami inside, if he, by spiritual master's mercy or Krishna's mercy, if he appears in the heart, that lotus flower inside us will open up, right? And so this, which means that self-realization happens when Antaryami reveals it to us. So we are already in the liberated state, yeah? What is covering us is this avidya. Once avidya goes away, automatically we realize who we are. And then you see that God is not something you are looking for outside. This is a higher understanding compared to the normal religion say that God sits somewhere else, we have to meet up with him later after death and all that. Or he's making judgments about us. That itself shows how primitive that understanding is about God, isn't it? You can see, if you have little intelligence, think about it. Krishna is saying here, I am inside you. You don't have to look for me elsewhere. But you are so stupid because of that avaranam inside that you are looking for me everywhere else in the creation and saying that I can't find him. Now what can I do? I am sitting right inside you and you are not able to recognize me. But you are that, this is called mudatam. Mudha means this, that he is inside us. You don't have to search for him anywhere. We don't need temples. We don't need any of these holy places. But because of this problem that we are not able to find him inside, we are searching for him outside. Yeah? And we are trying to find him in the fire, in the sun, in the moon, everywhere else we are looking. But he is inside. Right? So, when we touch him inside, it is like the lotus flower opening up with the sunshine. Yeah. So, so that sunshine inside is that mercy of the Antaryami, which is like a sun ray, sun's ray. The mercy of the Antaryami is like a ray of sun, right? And it is that time spiritual awakening happens in us. We wake up to the reality that we are not this body. That happens at that time. So this is how to understand spiritual life. All others are saying, you have to go to church, you have to go to temple, you have to go here, you have to go there, and you are looking for him, you have to go to holy places. But Krishna is saying to us, I am inside you. How come that you are not able to take it seriously? Right? So, they don't understand me. Naham prakasha sarvasya. Yoga maya samavada. Just to tell us how powerful that maya is. Covering our knowledge. Antaryami. Our connection with the Antaryami. Because of that avidya inside, which was put in by that maya, that we are not able to see Krishna's presence inside. It's as simple as that, right? So, like Amavasi day, it is dark everywhere, and then wherever you look, it is darkness. Only when the sun comes next day, it all becomes bright, right? So, when we talk about this Kanchi Kamakodi Peetham, it is called, right? So Kamakodi means that the end of karma. Not that you have so much karma there. The end of karma. That's what that Kamakodi means, right? So, in other words, in our body also, like we have this Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. So to reach that Anandamayam, you have to come through all these hurdles of existence, levels of existence. Annamayam, bodily level, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, then comes to Anandamayam, right? So that is the end of that, right? So inside that Anandamayam, Anandamayam, is that Anandam stage. That is the nature of the soul. And that is present inside us. Everybody is saying, Shastram telling us all the time Krishna is inside. And Shastram is also telling us that the nature of that Krishna's presence is bliss. Yeah. All this Shastram is telling us. And look at us, most miserable people in the world. Shastram is saying you are a blissful person and we most miserable. Totally opposite, isn't it? Shastram is saying Krishna is inside you as Antaryami and we travel all over the world looking for him. Where is he? Where is he? So what does that show? The avidya inside. How deep that avidya is, right? Right. So, that is why in the 13th chapter, you remember in the Kshetra-Kshetra-Nibhāna Yoga, if you look there, he is saying that, he used that word very nicely, explaining about himself, he is saying this. Just a minute. Jyotisham avidat jyoti. 17th verse. Jyotisham avidat jyoti. Tamastap tamasap paramuchyade. Jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam. Hridi sarvasya vishtidam. You can't be more straight than this. Isn't it? Jyotisham avidat jyoti. Tamasap paramuchyade. Jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam. Hridi sarvasya vishtidam. Present in everyone's heart, I am the knowledge, I am the one to be known, and it's me who is need to be realized. Jnanam, jnayam, jnanagamyam, hridi sarvasya vishtidam. You see, everything is very spoken very bluntly in Bhagavad Gita. But as I said, all this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita will not come till we become free from raga dvesham. Ichha dvesha samuti. So, Krishna is saying to us, this is the state of realization. This is the problem. Why it is so? Because this yoga maya has put that avidya inside. Avidya will not go till all the raga dvesham has gone away from inside. This knowledge cannot work. Sometimes people ask this funny question, you know, they say, like this, that I'm not getting there. I understood everything, but I'm not getting there, they say. Have you seen that people say? Everybody feels frustrated in spiritual life, don't they? People feel fed up sometimes. They feel, I've worked so many years, so hard, but I feel I'm not making any progress. And they will say, act as though with so much humility they are talking. That I've done so much seva, or I've done so much sadhana, and I've done so much for the movement, things like that. People, I've distributed so many books, and I've done everything what I've been told, but still I find I'm not getting anywhere. They say like that. I'm not getting anywhere. They don't realize that the problem. Also, Krishna said, unless this happens, ichha dvesha samutvena. Dundum has to leave us. Bhakti has to come. Bhakti hasn't happened. Prarabdham is there. Vasanas are there. And without all that, this highest knowledge on the creation, called the Bhagavad Gita, will not have any effect on us. This is the way it is. That is why it's not so simple as we think about it. Our whole fight is not to find where Krishna is. Our whole fight is, spiritual life is all about fighting your own prarabdham and the vasana inside. Basically, spiritual life is that. Krishna is already there inside. He is saying to us very bluntly, he is saying this. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti, tamasap paramuchyade, jnanam yeyam jnanagamyam, hridi sarvasya vishtidam. He is present inside in the Antaryami inside. You don't have to look for him anywhere else. With such a powerful shastram in the Bhagavad Gita, so powerful it is, still people find it difficult to accept many things what Bhagavad Gita is saying. They are saying that it's not working for me, they say sometimes. They are thinking that, because the reason for that is, they have not understood Maya first, how Maya works. And then they don't understand that the importance of Chitta Shuddhi. Krishna is present inside everybody, no doubt. Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and Jayadratha, everybody listed there. Krishna is present in everyone. Arjuna also has. But in spite of that, they are not able to rise above these things. Raga Dvesham is still there in all of them. And that was the reason. right? So, yeah. So, and the nature of that is knowledge, he said. Jyotishama vidar jyoti, isn't it? Jyotishama vidar jyoti, samasaparamuchyade, jnanam ayam jnanagamyam, jnanagamyam, hrdi sarvatrishnam. Krishna is making it very, very clear. Jnanam ayam jnanagamyam, hrdi sarvasavishtidam. And he is present inside you. But we are not able to accept it. We are saying he is not there. Even though he says he is there, we are saying he is not there, and then we are looking elsewhere. So basically, Bhagavad Gita is centered around Antaryami principle. Temple worship and all is not spoken in the... I'm not criticizing temple worship, don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is that Bhagavad Gita is based on Antaryami principle. Krishna is inside you, realize him there. Temples and all are helpful tools for that, to support the process. But the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is based on Antaryami inside. That you can't deny, because there is no reference to temple worship or anything in the Bhagavad Gita. You should go to temple, you should do this, you should do that, nothing. Realizing Antaryami and what is stopping you from realizing that, that's what Krishna is saying this. So that's the way to approach Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise you will get confused, you will think like this, Bhagavad Gita says like this, and somebody else is saying something else from the, you know, in the class I heard someone saying in a different way. You know, it can go in a different direction altogether. So not to get distracted that way. That's the main thing. You know. He is present in everyone as Antaryami, right? That is why in Shastram the stress is on our Swarupam. Satta Chitta Anandam. Yeah, Satta Chitta Anandam. This is the Vedanta concept. Satta Chitta Anandam. This is our nature, that is Krishna's nature. And we are one, not different than that. Now, Vaishnavas will take it in a different way. What they will say is, they call through three different names. Although the popular ones are Satta Chitta Anandam, Satchida Anandam. Vaishnava will call it as Kladini, Samvit, and there is one more, Santini. Three powers, right? This is Vaishnava's definition. They are the same thing, but their Kladini is our bliss. Satchitta Anandam is eternal blissful knowledge, right? So Kladini is our bliss, what we are talking about bliss, Anandam. That is Kladini. Kladini potency, right? Then Santini is the eternity, what we call it as Satta. The eternity, that is Santini. And Samvit is our Chit Shakti, awareness, Bodham inside. They are calling another three different names because that is how they have come. Vaishnavas and Shaivas and all that have come like that. They wanted to have their own terminologies and they used like that. But that doesn't matter. In principle, it's one and the same thing. What we call as Satya Chitta Anandam, they call it as Kladini, Samvit, Sandhini in that way. So, he is, the fact is, he is present inside everyone as our Chit Shakti, Chit Swarupam, Bodham, awareness inside, right? Chaitanyam, and as our very existence inside, Aham, Aham, that awareness, Bodham, right? And that's what he said, Tomaksharam Paramam Veditavyam. Earlier, you remember, Tomasya Vishwasya Param Nithanam. So many things he said, Akshara Purusha. In the later on you will see the Purushottama Yoga, Akshara Purusha, Purushottama, in that way. And he is present inside us as Antaryami, right? All our experiences is because of him only, it's not. When Krishna is present inside us as Antaryami, you are experiencing the world. Otherwise, how do you experience the world? Only because he is inside. And similarly, Ajaha, Jyoti is present as Jyoti. Jyotisham Abhidha Jyoti. Of all the Jyotis, he is only Jyoti. Because of his only, everything else is shining for us. The world is present in us. Because of his presence inside. Right? And it is in the Upanishad spoken in that way. Everything. And Alma, Tattvamasi, Shvetaketu. And that's you. That's how it is spoken in the Upanishad. That's you. And even in Sushupti, when you are in your deep sleep state also, he is still there inside you. Is not? And he is keeping this body going when you are in deep sleep. The function of the heart, it's working. If you have had your dinner at night, it is getting digested during. And you are making so much claim on your body. Practically, he is doing everything from inside. Is it not? Sushupti, what control you had? You have gone. And you are with him. You are not doing anything. But still the activities of the body is going on. How body's food is getting digested, blood circulation is going, running the blood, right? And similarly the heart is pumping, breathing is happening, heart is pumping. Every activity carries on its own. In spite of all that, we are saying that we are doing everything. How much are we doing in this body? He is conducting everything, is it not? So, even at that time, Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parasad, even at that time with so much darkness inside us, and still it is working, the system is working, right? So you can see here, this darkness is not only outside, it is also inside us, right? Inside, if you observe yourself, you observe yourself inside. Up to a certain level, you can go inside. After that, it is all darkness, how it works. Is it not? How it works. How much we are conscious of what's going on inside? Think about that. I am saying this is my body, right? I'm saying this is my body, right? I have to look after myself, I say. And I don't even know what I am looking after. I have not seen my kidneys, I have not seen my liver, I have not seen my intestines, nothing. Okay, if you take a photo and tell me this is what it is, I can only see the photo then, but I haven't seen it, have I? None of them. But I am thinking I am keeping it all together and doing it because I am organized, they say, in my life. I am very organized and I am very regular in my habits, and that is why this body is staying like that. All stupid things. Completely stupid statements all. This has no meaning at all. Because I go to gym and therefore my body is healthy. I'm walking 20 kilometers a day and therefore I'm healthy. All this is madness. All this is... Bhagavad Gita, if you study, you will understand what your body is actually. And that day you will... You won't go to GP after that. Till then you will think GP is keeping everything together. What can they do? They also don't know. We also don't know. Only Krishna knows what he is doing. He is Antaryami inside. He is controlling everything. And as long as he wants it, it will work. And when he wants to decide to leave, it's all over. All your so-called built systems, inbuilt things, will all go. It all collapse at that day. This is the truth. Yeah? So... So there is a gate inside us. Up to that you can go. After that, that gate won't open. Because all these things are happening without our knowledge, is it not? Think about that. Food is getting digested. What involvement have you got in digesting the food? You eat what suits the tongue. And then rest of it you have left it to him to sort it out. This is how we are we not? We eat what we want, what tastes. And then it is his duty to make sure that you don't get sick, it works, it gets digested. And similarly everything else, going to the toilet, and similarly the circulation of the blood, the breathing, the heartbeat, everything if you look, who is managing it from behind? So that's what I'm saying here, that that gate in normal life is that gate up to the deep sleep. From vacant state and the dream state, your ego can work. The moment you enter into deep sleep, the gate is shut. You cannot further entry from there. After that, what happens in deep sleep? You have no entry there. Krishna has put you into that state straight away. The same Antaryami does that to you. Antaryami gives you freedom only in the vacant state and in the dream state. Some freedom in the vacant state. Even then, lot of it is done by him. Krishna is doing that. But we have been given a little freedom to do some things in vacant state and to some extent in dream state. There the gate gets shut. Deep sleep, you have no entry. You have no entry there because you are not there. You won't know anything what goes on there in the deep sleep, right? And that is why you are feeling happy because they have shut the gate. In these two areas, vacant state and the dream state, your ahankaram was given some freedom and you have messed it up. And you are struggling because of that. These two states, vacant state and in the dream state. But when Krishna shut that gate and you are not given the entry into the deep sleep, you are happy. You go into the deep sleep state, you don't have to know anything. That means, actually, if you accept Krishna is controlling everything, you will be happy in life. If you take all responsibility on your shoulders, and if you live like that, you will always be suffering. That is the understanding from that, right? So, and that deep sleep state, when it is given to us, we all love it. It's not, you want to go back to it again, because it's so blissful. That is the only state where you actually happiness is, in that deep sleep, right? So, but, you cannot go inside and find out what's going on there. That's how it is kept, right? So, it's a wall which is unbreakable, that wall between dream state and the deep sleep, right? We have no entry. What is inside that? But only thing is, when you come out, you are saying that it was nice situation, everything was forgotten, and you want to go back into it again, right? So, so therefore it comes out like that, happiness at the end. So, what means is that when it was happening, that there was no person who was experiencing it. You saw that in the deep sleep. There is no person, isn't it? You are not a person in the deep sleep. Whereas in the vacant state, in the dream state, you are present in this world as a person, right? So, so when your personality gone, that is when, that means ahankaram is gone. Therefore, you felt that happiness. You felt that happiness, right? And all you are having that in Surubhasthiti, that is your Surubhasthiti, you are experiencing your that bliss of the soul, right? And there was no ignorance as such, right? But, you are saying when you wake up that in Sushupti, what you have experienced, you are not able to say. Because the person who has to say what you are experiencing is not there. Right? That you can only say in the Jagrat, what you are experiencing, what you are not experiencing. In Sushupti, the person who has experienced is not there. Then what did you have then? You slept. Right? That you know. You are able to say that. So it is that sleep, what you are calling it as happiness. Actually, it is not the sleep that is the happiness. You have misunderstood everything. Sushupti, you have to study well. Then you will get a lot from that. And you will start thinking in a different way completely. See, Sushupti, what's happening is, you had slept, right? And you didn't know anything. You wake up in the morning and you are saying that, I didn't know anything. But only one thing I knew, that it was nice. I enjoyed the Sushupti state. But then you also saying that you didn't know where you were about yourself. I didn't. People say that, don't they? When they wake up, I didn't know where I was. I had such a good sleep, they will say. So what you are misunderstanding there is, you have taken the sleep as responsible for your happiness. Actually, sleep is not responsible for that. It is the way the Antaryami has taken you away, the jiva, and took it, and that is why you are not there to report that, because Antaryami has taken you with him. and you were not aware of all that. So misunderstanding came to you, and so when you woke up, you said the sleep was responsible for your happiness. And that is why deep sleep you like. But you don't know what was happening then. You are Andaryami, you are not aware of anything. That avidya inside is still there, that's why. You are not conscious of Andaryami. Andaryami has taken you and given you a good time for a few hours or whatever time you had that deep sleep. But when you woke up, you are saying, because you are not conscious of Andaryami, and you as a person were not there, you couldn't report that. All what you are aware of is when you wake up that you are sleeping. So you are saying all your happiness has come from that deep sleep. Actually, it didn't come from the sleep. Sleep is everything has been taken out from you. Actually, it has come when Andaryami took inwardly your jivas. This is all happening between consciousness. Jiva is a consciousness, ahangaram, consciousness it is. Andaryami is consciousness. So Andaryami swallowed the jiva and jiva went into a happy state. It is that happiness what you are saying when you wake up in the morning. As deep sleep or I had a good sleep and all that what you say is what happened between Andaryami and the jiva. What you are talking about, right? But you can only say that only when you wake up. Because you are not there as a person to report these things, right? So when you wake up in Jagrat, you are saying that I didn't know anything, right? that was the intelligence, where was that? And where was your all-knowingness nature, right? Or your full awareness. That's what I'm saying. As soon as you enter into Sushupti, Andaryami puts the shutter there. You have no entry there after that. What happens in the Sushupti? This is the reality. Yeah. This is the reality. That once you enter into Sushupti, you have no entry there anymore. What goes on after that? It is between the Jiva and the Andaryami. Andaryami knows that this jiva whole day and night is battling with the world outside. Andaryami feels compassion and gives some relief to the jiva. Given to the jiva. And so when he wakes up in the morning, he feels again ready to battle the world. Start the battle again. Right? So, so this ignorance, what we are experiencing now in the vacant state, even a slight, small part of that is not present in the Sushupti. Only when you wake up, you get to know these things, right? So, suppose it is all ignorance in Sushupti. You may not like to go there. But the fact is that when you wake up, you want to go back to that state again. That Sushupti experience, you want it again back. Suppose you have worked very hard during the day, right? And say about 9, 10 o'clock you went to bed. And you felt that, say 4 o'clock you want to wake up. Some people use an alarm or something, they put it on and they went to bed, right? And about 2 o'clock in the morning, you heard some noise. It woke you up. You woke up. And then you looked at the clock and it's only 2 o'clock. You heard some noise and you woke up, right? And you saw the, looked at the clock, it's only 2 o'clock. What will you say that time? You want to go back to that state again. You don't want to wake up and start doing things because you say, the reply will be like this, oh, I still have got 2 hours to left to sleep. Why? You prefer that state more than any other state in this world. That's why. Sushupti's attraction, I'm saying. You are the one who has to make the choice then, whether to go to Sushupti or to come to the world being active. But you will choose Sushupti. Everybody will choose Sushupti. If I got 2 more hours to sleep, I will opt that rather than going to this world. Because I've tasted Sushupti, what it means. That happiness, what I get from that Sushupti, I won't get it from the world outside. No matter what sense gratification you get in this world, because any happiness what you get in this world is mixed with suffering. it will have sukham dukham, it will come together. Whereas that happiness in the Sushupti is untouched by any misery. These all things you have to keep on analyzing it within yourself and strengthen your understanding of Vedantam, understanding of Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is trying to tell us, right? We have to change the whole set mindset, our mindset of thinking about life. Otherwise Bhagavad Gita won't be effective. Just knowing a lot of verses and telling others everything is not going to solve the problem. Problem will only solve if you take that science properly. It's a science, basically. It's a science of the soul. Bhagavad Gita is a science of the soul. If you understand that science properly, and if you start using it for your own, in your own life, to analyze life in that way, you'll feel the benefit from that. It will help you to become free from this misunderstanding. We know what the problems are. Ragadvesham. Ichadvesha samutvena dondu mohena bharada. And because of that only we are not able to realize it. So therefore bhakti is required, chitta shuddhi is required, and gradually you purify inside. Purification comes mostly how? When vairagyam comes. Why are we busy with the world? Because of attachment, is it not? Once vairagyam comes, attachment to the world goes away. When attachment goes away, this ragadvesham also, a lot of it will go away. If attachment goes away, lot of ragadvesham also will go away. And when a lot of ragadvesham goes away, and other impurities goes away, this knowledge also will start becoming more effective within ourselves. Yeah. So that's all this chapter about. It's a subtle science. This Bhagavad Gita is a subtle science. Science of the soul. And often you may find that it is not working for us. Because we get frustrated, we do everything, like we think that it's like the karmi life, that I done something, I should get the result. That is our approach to Bhagavad Gita also. That won't work. Bhagavad Gita won't work like that. Bhagavad Gita is in a little different way it operates. Bhagavad Gita is knowledge. Basically it is knowledge, right? But in order this knowledge to work, certain parameters are required. Chitta Shuddhi, freedom from karma vasana, recognition of maya, things like that. Yeah. When all those things are helping, this knowledge also will start making more sense. And that's why Bhagavad Gita is such an amazing creation. There's no scripture in this world you can compare with Bhagavad Gita in that aspect. Any other scripture you bring forward, it is so full in on its own, it's completely perfect in it. And that is why it is said that samasta vedartha sara sangraha bhudam. You never see a word like this anywhere. Such a long verse. If Acharya Swami, when he used that word, he didn't use it in a casual way. Fully recognizing the power of Bhagavad Gita, he said, samasta vedartha sara sangraha bhudam. Then he said, durvijnayartham, most difficult to understand, he said. Because to get to understand Bhagavad Gita, also you need to put a lot of effort, this thinking process, about what Krishna is saying, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, word by word. You will put things like Shashvata Dharma Gopta. You are supposed to understand everything behind that. That's the nature of Bhagavad Gita. We'll continue on Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.